ಜಯ ಪ್ರಸುಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವ್ರಾಜಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರಿಸಿದ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮಾನ್ ಅಭಯ ಚರಣಾರವಿಂದ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾನಂದ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಮಹಾರಾಜ ಶ್ರೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದಿ ಜಯ ನಿತ್ರಿಲಾ ಪ್ರವೇಶ ವಿಶುಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವ್ರಾಜಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರಿಸಿದ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮಾನ್ ಭಕ್ತ ಸಿದ್ಧಾಂತ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ಮಹಾರಾಜ ಶ್ರೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದಿ ಆನಂದವಡಿ ವೈಷ್ಣವ ವೃಂದಕ್ಕೆ ನಾಮಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಹರಿದಾಸ್ ಠಾಕೂರ್ ಕಿ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಸಹೋ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತ ವೃಂದಕ್ಕೆ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧಾ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಗೋಪಗೋವಿನಾಥ ಶ್ಯಾಮಗುಂಡ ರಾಧಾ ಗುಂಡಗಿರಿ ಗೋವರ್ಧಾನಿಕಿ ವೃಂದಾವನ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಮಾಯಾಪುರ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಮಧುರಪುರಿ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಜಗನ್ನಾಥಪುರಿ ಧಾಮಕಿ ದ್ವಾರಕಾಪುರಿ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಗಂಗಮಾಯಿಕಿ ಯಮುನಾ ಮಾಯಿಕಿ ತುಳಸಿದೇವಿಕಿ ಭಕ್ತಿದೇವಿಕಿ ಸಾಮವೇದ ಭಕ್ತ ವೃಂದಕಿ ಗೋ ಪ್ರೇಮಾನಂದಿ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಯಸ್ ಟು ದಿ ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ಡ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಯಸ್ ಟು ದಿ ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ಡ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಯಸ್ ಟು ದಿ ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ಡ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಯಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಯಸ್ ಟು ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುವೆನ್ ಗೌರಾಂಗ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಯಸ್ ಶ್ರೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ನಮಃ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರಸಾಯ ಭೂತಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮದೇ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ನಿಧಿ ನಾಮಿನಿ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವಿ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಜಾರಿಣಿ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶಧಾರಿಣಿ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಸಂಸಾರ ಸಾಗರೇ ಮಗ್ನಂ ದೀನಂ ಮಾಂ ಕರುಣಾನಿಧೇ ಕರ್ಮಗ್ರಾಹ ಗೃಹೀತಾಂಗಂ ಮಾಮುದ್ಧರ ಭವಾರ್ಣವಾದ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ಭಾಗವದಾಖ್ಯೋಯಂ ಪ್ರತ್ಯಕ್ಷ ಕೃಷ್ಣಮೇವ ಹಿ ಸ್ವೀಕೃತೋಸಿ ಮಯಾ ನಾಥ ಮುಕ್ತ್ಯರ್ಥಂ ಭವ ಸಾಗರೇ ಮನೋರಥೇ ಮದೀಯೋಯಂ ಸಫಲಾ ಸರ್ವದಾ ತ್ವಯಾ ನಿರ್ವಿಘ್ನೇನೈವ ಕರ್ತವ್ಯಂ ದಾಸೋಹಂ ತವ ಕೇಶವ ಭವೇ ಭವೇ ಯಥಾ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಪದೇ ಜಾಯತೆ ತಥಾ ಕುರುಷ್ವ ದೇವೇಶ ನಾಥಸ್ತ್ವನ್ನೋ ಯದ ಪ್ರಭೋ ನಾಮ ಸಂಕೀರ್ತನಂ ಯಸ್ಯ ಸರ್ವಭಾವ ಪ್ರಣಾಶನಂ ಪ್ರಣಾಮೋ ದುಃಖ ಶಮನಂ ತಂ ನಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿಂ ಪರಂ ಜನ್ಮಾದ್ಯಸ್ಯ ಯದೋನ್ವಯಾದಿತರತಃ ಚಾರ್ತೇಷ್ವಭಿಜ್ಞಸ್ವರಾತ್ ತೇನೇ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಹೃದಾಯ ಆದಿಕವಯೇ ಮುಹ್ಯಂತಿ ಯತ್ ಸೂರಯ ತೇಜೋ ವಾರಿಮೃತಂ ಯಥಾ ವಿನಿಮಯೋ ಯತ್ರ ತ್ರಿಸರ್ಗೋ ಮೃಷಾಂ ಧಾಮ್ನಾ ಸ್ವೇನ ಸದಾ ನಿರಸ್ತಕುಹಕಂ ಸತ್ಯಂ ವರಂ ಧೀಮಹಿ ಧರ್ಮ ಪ್ರೋಜ್ಜಿತ ಗೈದವೋತ್ರ ಪರಮೋ ನಿರ್ಮತ್ಸರಾಣಂ ಸದಾಂ ವೇದ್ಯಂ ವಾಸ್ತವಮತ್ರ ವಸ್ತು ಶಿವದಂ ತಾಪತ್ರಯೋನ್ಮೂಲನಂ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ಭಾಗವತೇ ಮಹಾಮುನಿಕೃತೇ ಕಿಂವಾಪರೈರೀಶ್ವರ ಸದ್ಯೋ ಹೃದ್ಯವರುದ್ಯದೇತ್ರ ಕೃತಿಭಿ ಶುಶ್ರೋಷುಭಿ ತಲ್ಕ್ಷಣಾಲ್ ನಿಗಮಗಲ್ಪದರೋರ್ಗಲಿತಂ ಫಲಂ ಶುಕಮುಖಾದಮೃದದ್ರವ ಸಂಯುತಂ ಪಿಬದ ಭಾಗವತಂ ರಸಮಾಲಯಂ ಮುಹುರಹೋ ರಸಿಗಾ ಭುವಿ ಭಾವುಕಾಹಂ ಸಚ್ಚಿದಾನಂದರೂಪಾಯ ವಿಶ್ವೋಲ್ಪತ್ಯಾದಿಹೇತವೇ ತಾಪತ್ರಯ ವಿನಾಶಾಯ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ವಯಂ ನಮಃ ಯಂ ಪ್ರವ್ರಜಂತಂ ಅನುಭೇದಮಭೇದಕೃತ್ಯಂ ದ್ವೈವಾಯನೋ ವಿರಹದಾಧರಮಾಜುಹಾವಾಂ ಪುತ್ರೇದಿ ತನ್ಮೈದಯತ್ತರವೋಭಿನೇದು ತಂ ಸರ್ವಭೂತಹೃದಯಂ ಮುನಿಮಾನದೋಸ್ಮಿ ಯಸ್ವಾನುಭಾವಮಖಿಲ ಶ್ರುತಿಸಾರಮೇಕಂ ಅಧ್ಯಾತ್ಮದೀಪಮದಿದಿದೀರ್ಷದಾಂ ತಮೋಂಧಂ ಸಂಸಾರಿಣಾಂ ಕರುಣಯಾಹ ಪುರಾಣಗುಹ್ಯಂ ತಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಸೂನುಮುಪಯಾಮಿ ಗುರುಂ ಮುನೀನಾಂ ನಾರಾಯಣಂ ನಮಸ್ಕೃತ್ಯ ನರಂ ಚೈವ ನರೋತ್ತಮಂ ದೇವೀಂ ಸರಸ್ವತೀಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಂ ತತೋ ಜಯಮುದೀರಯೇತ್ ಕಮನೀಯ ಕಿಶೋರಮುಗ್ಧಮೂರ್ತೇ ಕಳವೇಣೂ ಕುಣಿದಾದೃತಾನನೇಂದೋಃ ಮಮ ವಾಚಿ ವಿಜೃಂಭದಾ ಮುರಾರೇ ಮಧುರೀಂ ಕನಿಕಾಭಿ ಕಾಭಿ ಕಾಭಿ ನಮಃ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರಸ್ಥಾಯ ಭೂತಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮದೇ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ನಿಧಿ ನಾಮಿನೇ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವಿಂ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಜಾರಿಣೇ നിർവിശേഷൂന്യവാദീ പാശ്ചാത്യാദേശധാരിണി ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജസ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണമഭീഷ്ണശാം യാസാം ഹരിഗതോദ്ഗീതം പുനാജിഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദപരമാനവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിതചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദരീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണും ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരകാം വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ വാസദാം പുരതോ മമാം മുഖം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാദമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണീ ഭഗവതീം അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനീം അമ്പത്വാമനുസന്ധദാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണീ നമോസ്തു ദേ വ്യാസവിശാല ബുദ്ധേ ഫുല്ലാരവിന്ദായത പത്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപാം പ്രപന്ന പാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേത്രൈകപാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമാം സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സസുധീർഭോക്താ ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹദ് വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസച്ചാണൂരമർദനം ദേവനീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണദടാ ജയദ്രഥജല ഗാന്ധാരനീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേണ വഹനി കർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമാവികർണഘോരമകര ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സോത്തീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണനദീ കൈവർത്തകേശവാം പാരാശര്യവജസ്സരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനകേസരം ഹരികഥാ സംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹരഹപ്പേബീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാത് ഭാരതമംഗജ കലിമലപ്രധ്വംസിനശ്രേയസേ മുഖം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാദമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മാവരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്ത്വന്വന്ദി ദിവ്യൈസ്തവൈർവേദൈർസാംഗപദൈർക്രമൌപനിഷദൈർഗായന്തിയം സമഗാഹ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിതദഗ്ധേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തിയം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം അവിദുസുരാസുരഗണേ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ ഈശ്വരസർവഭൂതാനാം ഹൃദ്ദേശേ അർജുന തിഷ്ഠതി ഭ്രാമയൻ സർവഭൂതാനി യന്ത്രാരൂഢാനി മായയാ തമേവ ശരണം ഗച്ഛ സർവഭാവേന ഭാരത തൽപ്രസാദാൽ പരാം ശാന്തിം സ്ഥാനം പ്രാപ്സ്യസി ശാശ്വതം ഇതി തേ ജ്ഞാനമാഖ്യാതം ഗുഹ്യാൽ ഗുഹ്യതമം മയാം വ്യമശ്രൈതാലശേഷേണ യഥേച്ഛസി തഥാ കുരു സർവഗുഹ്യതമം ഭൂയാൽ ശൃണുമേ പരമം വച ഇഷ്ടോസി മേ ദൃഢം ഇതി തദോ വക്ഷ്യാമി ദേഹിതം മന്മനാഭവമദ്ഭക്തോ മദ്യാജീ മാം നമസ്കുരു മാമവേഷ്യസി സത്യം ദേ പ്രതിജാനേ പ്രിയോസി മേ സർവധർമാൻ പരിത്യജ്യ മാമേകം ശരണം വ്രജ അഹം ത്വാം സർവബാധേഭ്യോ മോക്ഷയിഷ്യാമി മാ ശുച. സോ യെസ്റ്റർഡേ when we were discussing these verses, we have seen that the
realization is not possible through the mind. In the plane of the mind, realization doesn't happen. Realization, because anything that happens in the platform of the mind will be lost. It cannot stay. And the best example is that the mind itself disappears when we go into deep sleep state. So, just like in the wakened state, whatever happens, the mind is absorbing that. Mind is taking it on board. And some of it is carried forward to the dream state. But when it comes to deep sleep, everything is lost. Everything is lost. That is an indication to tell us that self-realization, if it happens on the mental platform, it has no meaning. The realization must happen in the self. In other words, Krishna is saying to us that when the mind disappears, everything disappears. So even though in that verse, Manmana Bhava Madbhakto Madhyajimam Namaskuru Mama Vesha Satyam De Padijane Prayosime, Krishna's point is that the self-realization, if it happens, the mind has to change. It's not mind anymore. It becomes what is known as Brahmagaram. It becomes Brahmam rather than the normal mind. Normal mind is what we call it as the interaction of the various emotions like lust, anger, greed, kamam, krotham, lobham, moham, madam, matsaryam, all those things. So, ahangaram or false ego enjoys these things. That is the field where ahangaram is operating. So Krishna is saying that when you have realized the self within, in the heart, then it is no more possible to realize that there is this influence of the mind exist. Just like Talpalpa Lakshyata Chideka Rasarubani, Lalitasahasranamam says, and that is the essence of all Vedantam also, is talking about the same thing. That Chideka Rasarubani means that Eka Rasam from coming from the Chit. Chideka Rasarubani, that Eka Rasam, that single flow of the Rasam from Chit Shakti, which is Chideka Rasarubani. So by then, one understands that when we refer to when that Rasam starts flowing from the Hrit, from the Chit Shakti, we immediately realize that this grip of the body, the mind, and the intelligence completely leaves us. It's no more has any effect on us, on the realized soul. When somebody has realized the self, these three things, body, mind and intelligence, it loses its grip on that person. And that at that point that mind becomes tadagaram, or his ego also changes along with that mind. Mind and ego, they are the one force. We call it as mind sometimes, we call it as ego sometimes. But in reality, it is one force that comes from the Chit Shakti. So mind becomes Tadagaram or Alma. It takes into the Almagaram or Brahmagaram. In other words, it becomes Alma. It's not again anymore mind. It's not anymore Jiva. It's not anymore Ahangaram. It becomes Alma. Or in other words, also say, it becomes Brahmam. Brahmagaram, Almagaram or Brahmagaram it becomes. So Krishna is saying, Manmana Bhava Madbhakto Madhyajimam Namaskuru Mamaveshisi Satyam De Pradijane Priyosime. Because when the mind becomes Brahmam, or mind loses its normal nature, which is thought waves, chitavrati, it goes away, and one realizes that in vacant state, in the dream state, as well as in the deep sleep. Jagrat Satnam Sushupti. Similarly, boyhood, childhood, youthhood, old age. In all these states, Balyam, Kaumaram, Yavanam, Vardhakyam. In all these states, he comes to realize that he is that Chaitanyam or living force which never changes. This is the realization. Realization is like this. Jagrat Satnam Sushupti. Vacant state, dream state, deep sleep. Similarly, childhood, boyhood, youthhood, old age. Valyam, Kaumaram, Yavanam, Vardhakyam. In all these states, that one thing which is inside is unchanging. It doesn't change. And that is the very nature of Atma. Atma doesn't change. Changes happen every... Ahangaram changes. Jiva changes its identity. According to change in the ahankaram, jiva also is changing. And mind is changing. Mind is changing, ahankaram is changing. Buddhi is changing. Body is changing. But when we start realizing our identity with Atma, when it becomes akhandam, akhandam means unbroken, without any interruptions, when that realization comes, Krishna is saying, what will happen at that time? That is what that verse is pointing at. Manmana bhav madbhakto, the realization at that stage is, madhya jimam namaskuru, mamaveshi satyamde prajane priyosime. Krishna is saying that continuous experience of the self inside, Atma inside, happens to that person. Because mind, the nature of the mind is it comes and goes. We can see that. With the mind, it changes all the time, comes and goes. Similar, but I am still there. I am still there. I see it separate from the mind. Equally, that experience of the self, which one is experiencing all the time, and that is there in Jagrat, Sopnam and Sushupti, in all the three states. But we see there, you don't see the mind in the Sushupti state. In the Sushupti state, the mind has gone away. We have to analyze it like this, only then we will get this point across. Why the realization is in the platform of the self and not in the platform of the mind. Unless we understand that, understand means that till it comes to us, we will always be mistaken. Because often what happens is, when we get some reflections of spiritual life in our mind, we misunderstand that it is spiritual. Actually, it is not spiritual. It is only a mental reaction to some excitement, what we have seen in the world. But real spiritual realization, when it happens, you can see here, mind disappears in the Sushupti state, so mind is not real. Anything that disappears in any of the states, then it's not real. So, Jagrat Sopnam, you will see the mind again is changing in the vacant state and in the dream state. In the vacant state and in the dream state, it is changing. In the deep sleep, it disappears. So, any realization, what we have in the mind is not real because of the very nature of the mind. That is the logic behind it. So, but we understand that although these three states are coming and going, where is it happening? It's happening in the Atma. Atma is not changing. Atma is present in the vacant state, dream state, deep sleep state, again in the vacant state, deep sleep, dream state, deep sleep state. So these three states is continuously happening in the background of Atma. Therefore, Atma is the reality, and that is where the realization has to happen. Otherwise, it has no meaning. So that is when we realize that the very nature of that Atma is bhakti. Bhakti is there in the Atma. So it is at this time, when it starts experiencing the self, then you realize that all the vibhakti what we had, that means the seven different ways the false ego operates, that has completely disappeared. All the false ego's different movements of the false ego within has disappeared. Or in other words, all the vibhakti has gone and bhakti has come back. So, mal bhaktaha madhyajiha mad aradhana shilaha says, therefore, all aradhana, almanubhavam, or experience of the self for the jnani, it is experience self-realization, jnananubhavam. Or in other words, his experience at that point is actually the realization of the self. So, in that realized state, that person, he will worship anybody. He won't have any difficulty with that. Because what he is seeing there at that time is these different forms what we talk about in our life. Vishnu, Shiva, Shivarvati, and different forms are nothing but manifestation of that same living force inside. Andaryami is different manifestations, that is. And for him, whichever form he worships, his experience is exactly the same. So he knows that he is offering his respects to that Andaryami inside. That is what Krishna is saying there. Mam Namaskuru. When that Mam refers to the Andaryami inside. Manmana bhavam madbhakto madhyaji Mam Namaskuru. Mam Namaskuru means that is offering obeisances to that Antaryami inside. Actually, namaskaram, what Krishna is saying there, madhyajimam namaskuru, that namaskaram does not exist for a self-realized soul. He doesn't have to pay obeisances. It is not necessary for him to do that. The reason for that is, when we pay obeisances, we get up. Is it not? We get up. As far as he is concerned, he is always in the state of paying obeisances. Not with the body, but inside, in realizations. That is why, even if he doesn't, physically doesn't pay obeisances, we have to pay physically obeisances. Why? Because our ahankaram inside will not otherwise, will manifest in us. So therefore physical obeisances is necessary for us. For a realized person, he doesn't have to pay obeisances because he's always in that state of obeisances state. That humility is manifesting in him. After paying obeisances, he hasn't got up, in other words. He hasn't got up. So when self-realization happened, he has paid his obeisances and he's in that state since then. From then onwards, he is in that state. Whereas for us, because there is no realization happened, we have to keep paying obeisances till it happens. So, and because self-realization has happened to him, therefore he is not, once the self-realization happened means that he is always in the state of paying obeisances. Nistutihi nir namaskaraha nisohagaraha. Shruti says, Vedam says like this. Nistutihi, he doesn't have to glorify anybody anymore. Nir namaskaraha, he doesn't have to pay obeisances to anyone. And nisodhagaraha, in other words, he is always in his pure surubam, identity. That's where he is. So Shruti says, Vedam says, that for sannyasi, for this reason, there is no necessity to for doing any of these things. Glorifications or paying obeisances, or even this is the reason why sannyasis don't pay, perform any of the Shraddha ceremony. They don't have to do that. They are not expected to do Pitrakarma. Pitrakarma means for our the obligations to the forefathers. It's not required for them to do because they have gone beyond all that. And they have already done that. Their stage is over. And so, the greatest glorification, Krishna is saying, is this self-realization. That is the greatest glorification of the self. So, and that is what we call it as Atmasashalkaram or Namaskaram, whichever way we call it. Krishna is calling it here as the Madhyajimam Namaskuru. That Namaskaram, Namaskuru. That is what Krishna is referring here. And when a jiva realizes this in any family, if a jiva becomes self-realized, many, many generations before and many, many generations after that will also be benefited from that. Prabhupada Maharaj says, Trisaptabi Pidapuda, 21 generations before and after will be realized because of the realization of Prahlada. Pratijani priyosimi. Therefore, Krishna is saying to Arjuna that this is the truth. Pratijani priyosime, and this is my declaration, Krishna is saying. After that, Krishna is saying the verse of Sharanagadi. Sharanagadi verse. And this verse is the last verse in the Bhagavad Gita, more or less. It's the last verse. After this verse, what you find is most of the words are from Sanjaya talking about few other things. And you will see after the Arjuna asks in 73 is Arjuna talking and then Sanjaya answering few things. With that Bhagavad Gita finishes. So more or less this verse is the last verse in the Bhagavad Gita. And these are the, then Sanjaya starts speaking. So, therefore, while commenting on this verse, all great acharyas, they have given a lot of importance to this verse, 66. Sarvadharma and Parityajya, Mamegam Sharanam Raja, Aham Tuam Sarvabhavebhyo, Mokshayishyami, Mahasucham. So, different Acharya had different commentaries on that. From the viewpoint of Shankaracharya's commentary, he mentions there that when all upadhis have gone, that means, upadhi means our body, the mind, the intelligence, the ego, when suppose all of them have left, all of them have gone away, they are not existing anymore, and he is situated in the platform of the soul, that is called Sharanagati. He defined Sharanagati in that way. Completely established in the self, never again identifying with the body, mind, intelligence or ego, they all left him once for all. And you can see this, how, why he said that, because normally we are sticking to one thing or the other. Either we stick to the body, or we stick to the mind, or we stick to the intelligence, or we stick to the ego. Is it not? In the conditioned state, we are sticking to one of these four things, body, mind, intelligence or ego. Sometimes when we identify with the body, we think we are the body, or we think we are the mind, or think we are the intelligence, or we think we are the ego. So, because we are sticking to one of these things, there will always be kartrutvam and bhoktrutvam. I am the doer and I am the enjoyer. That will be there in a person. As long as you are sticking to one of these four. As long as you think you are the body, kartrutva bhoktrutvam will be there. If you are identifying with the mind, kartrutva bhoktrutvam will be there. Similarly, if you are identifying the intelligence, kartrutva bhoktrutvam will be there. Kartrutva bhoktrutvam means I am the doer or I am the enjoyer. And similarly, if you have the ego, definitely it will be there. So, because of this sticking to one of these things, that is the very cause of our material existence. Because main reason for the bondage is I am karta, I am the doer. So, and that I am the doer is considered to be the greatest poison inside us. I am the doer is the greatest poison and is the most difficult thing to get rid of from inside. If you look into the Ashtavakra Gita, Ashtavakra's famous Ashtavakra Gita, he compares that with a black cobra. He says it is a black cobra. This ego. He refers to it as a black cobra. If you see, there he says, in the beginning he says, Aham kartyedi aham mana maha krishna hi damshida naham kartyedi vishwasam amrdam pitva sukhi bhava. That is the words. Aham kartyeti aham manam maha krishna hi damshida naham kartyedi vishwasam amrdam pitva sukhi bhava. For example, he says there that a very poisonous black cobra. Black cobras have much more strong poison in them. It has bitten somebody. And where did it bite? It bite in the head. It has bitten in the head. If it has bitten in the head, then it is very difficult to do anything. All it will happen is the blood will continuously, because of the circulation of the blood, the poison will come down in the body and the person will die. Normally if a snake bites somewhere else in the leg, they tie a rope around your leg or something so that the blood does not easily, the poison doesn't easily spread into the body. But if it has bitten in the head, there's nothing you can do. What will happen is, where do you tie the blood? It will circulate straight away into the heart and in the rest of the body and the person will die. So similarly, our Ashtavakra Maharshi, he is saying, Aham kartyedi aham manam Mahakrishna hi damshida. Mahakrishna means this great cobra has bitten. How is it bitten? This feeling, aham karta, I am the doer. It's a cobra's biting. He's comparing that with like a cobra has bitten. Naham karte di vishwasam amrutam bhitva sukhi bhava. So, naham karte di vishwasam amrutam bhitva sukhi bhava. He says, this Krishna sarpam, cobra is called Krishna sarpam, black cobra. Therefore, that is bitterness in the form of this false ego. And that false ego, how is present in us? I am the doer. Is it not? I am the doer. Kartrutvam is the effect of this biting of this cobra. It's the effect in us, biting of this cobra. So what is the antidote for that? He says that I have to constantly take this medicine that I am not the doer. That's the antidote. I have to always take this medicine. He's saying here, naham kartedi vishwasam. Naham, I am not the doer. That's the only remedy for that. That drink, that nectar if you drink, naham kartedi vishwasam, amrdam pitva sukhi bhava. That is the nectar to drink all the time. And nothing is mine. And Krishna is also saying to us that we have to develop this understanding. I am the doer has to go from inside, because it's like a poison throughout inside us, which is also strengthens our false ego, is it not? The false ego gets a lot of strength from that, I am the doer. It is, false ego is what is giving that power to the false ego of a person, gives the strength to this I am the doer concept. So I am the doer and the false ego, all emotions are holding on to this ahankaram, to the jiva. So that is why Krishna is saying here that this antidote you have to have, which one? Naham kartedi, I am not doing it. All the time we have to say to ourselves, I am not doing it, Krishna is doing that. I am only an instrument in Krishna's hands. Not with the lips, but inside in our heart. We have to keep talking to us. And the way Krishna engages me to do something, I am doing that. And the way Krishna is making me to think, I am thinking in that way. Thoughts are coming because Krishna is behind that. And I am speaking because the way Krishna wants me to speak, I am speaking. And there is nothing of my own. Everything is Krishna's, which is operating through the body. And continuously remembering this is very, very important. And that is the medicine for this poison that has been injected by this cobra. That is Ashtavakra Maharshi's statement. In the Ashtavakra Gita, he will say this, Aham kartedi aham manam maha krishnahi damshidaha naham kartedi vishwasam amrutam bhitva sukhi bhava. You probably know about Ashtavakra. Ashtavakra was a great rishi who had, his body is very crooked. In 8 different places his body is bent. And he is the personality who instructed King Janaka in spiritual life. Ashtavakra's disciple is King Janaka. That is, so he's a very glorious personality in the Puranam. So, and another thing Ashtavakra is saying to us to remember, Naham kartedi vishwasam amrutam bhitva sukhi bhava. What he's saying is that always remember that this I am the doer is there in the Atma. That's the question he wants us to ask. I am the doer, that is not in the self. Atma is never thinking like that. Where is it coming from then? Ahankaram. Is it not? Ahankaram is falsely thinking that I am the doer. And therefore he says that in deep sleep state it is not there. Just like the mind, it's not there in the deep sleep. Similarly, this kartrutva bhoktrutvam also is not there in the deep sleep. And in the samadhi state also it's not there. We have Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, the 3 states. And once you have come out of that, then there is a 4th state called Samadhi or Turiyam state. In Turiyam state also, it doesn't exist. In Sushupti state also, it doesn't exist. It only exists in these 2 states, vacant state and in the dream state. Therefore, it's not real. It is not there in the Atma. It's only in the mind. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. So... So that is, they give the example that when you are in deep sleep, you don't say, I am sleeping now. When you are in the deep sleep, you don't keep saying that, do you? Because you are not there. The person who has to say is not there in the deep sleep state. So that's an indication that aham karta doesn't exist in the deep sleep. All other things I'll say, in the wakened state I will say like this. Oh, I brought this book, I brought this water, or I brought something else, I've done this, I've done that. But I have done, there is no expression of that in the deep sleep state. That is the proof that this kartratvam or ownership or I am doing something does not exist in the deep sleep state and therefore it's not real. That is the logic. We are falsely thinking that I am doing this, he has done this, somebody else is doing something else. We are always identifying with the body, mind, intelligence and ego and saying that so many people have done all these things. But Krishna is saying, the Ashtavakra Gita also is saying there, that naham kartedi vishwasam amritam bhitva sukhi bhava, that when you go into the deep sleep state, you are not saying that you have done something. You are not even saying that you are sleeping deeply. Even that's not coming out. You are not saying anything. All what is happening is at that time, the bliss from the sleep, you are experiencing that. But you are not taking any ownership there. I am the doer. There is no ownership there. I am the doer. So, that is, if he is saying, suppose in the deep sleep he is saying, I am sleeping very well. That means what? He is not sleeping. Isn't it? Yes or no? If somebody is sleeping very well, and in the deep sleep, if he is saying that I am sleeping well, if he is saying that, what does that mean? He is not sleeping. But if he is sleeping, he cannot say that. So, the point is, that because he is not saying in the deep sleep state, he can't say that, therefore, I am doing something, or that ownership or kartratvam does not exist in the deep sleep state. Like the mind, like the ego, kartratva bhoktratvam also disappears in the deep sleep state. So that is the only state where there is no kartratvam, ownership. All other states, it's always there. I am the doer, exist. In the deep sleep state, it is not there. So from this we have to understand that the kartratvam and bhoktratvam, that means I am the doer and I am the enjoyer, does not exist in me, in the self. It does not exist in the self. It exists in the mind and the ego. That's all. It is there. So how do I remove that from inside? Where will I go and throw it away? This, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. In the Jnana Margam, what they say is that, inquire where is it coming from. This is the Jnana process. In the Jnana Margam, they say, when you have that kartrutvam, which is called abhimanam, or abhimanam means that ego manifesting in that way, kartrutvam. And if you inquire who is doing that, you will see that it has no reality. That is the Jnana Margam. Because jnanis, what they do? They go in this inquiry process, trying to find out who is doing it, asking this question. Who is doing it? That's their question. Where is it coming from? When they ask that, they realize it, because they have the knowledge, they realize that it doesn't exist in me. It only exists in the mind, exists in the ego. Only through the ego and the mind it's operating. It has nothing to do with the reality. Reality means the self. It has nothing to do with that. So there what will happen is, when you inquire, he finds out that it was only like the snake on the rope. When he saw the rope, he thought there is a snake there. Is it not? So now what has happened? In the same way, when he inquired about the ego, he found out that there was no snake. Ahangaram or false ego is like the snake on the rope. False ego is like the snake on the rope. False ego is similar to that on the Atma. On the Atma is a real thing. False ego is the snake. Rope is the real thing. Snake is the false thing. Is it not? We saw the rope and misunderstood that as the snake. That's what has happened. Rajusarpam. You will see this in the Bhagavatam in many, many places, this example. It is the most famous example in the Vedantam, Raju Sarpam. It is in the Brahmastuti, it is there in the Brahmavadesham, when Parishad Maharaj is given by the Sukhadev Goswami. In so many places you will see. So, this example is like this. Real thing is the rope, but we have misunderstood as the snake. Similarly, the real thing is the Atma, we have misunderstood that as Ahankaram. When you realize that there was no snake, it was the rope, snake has disappeared. Similarly, when you realized it was Atma, the Jiva has Ahankaram has disappeared. That is that relationship between Ahankaram and Atma. That is the relationship between the two. It doesn't really exist. That's why it's called the false ego. Ahankaram is called false ego. Why? Because when you inquire about that, it disappears. It's not there. It's not real. So therefore it disappears. So, then once you have realized that, like this example of the snake and the rope, when you have seen that there is only rope, then there is no more snake present there. When you see that there is only rope there, the fear that was generated by the snake has gone. Is it not? You are not feeling that fear anymore. Initially, when you saw the snake, when you saw the rope, you misunderstood that, mistook that as the snake, and it generated a fear inside us. As soon as you realized it is not a snake, it's a rope, that fear also disappeared along with that. Similarly, when you inquire about false ego, and you realize that it is Atma there, not false ego, the Ahankaram also, false ego also, disappears, and that is the truth. That is the truth. And once who have realized it that way, that means he has realized the Tattvam. This is Tattvam what Krishna is talking about. That Tattvam, when he has realized that, for him, even if he has realized this, then even if he wants to bring back that false ego again, it is not possible for him to do that. For a self-realized soul, if he wants to bring back his false ego again, it is not possible for him to do that. That is why it says, anichannabi vimuchyade. That means, he says there, that person if he says, who have realized the self, if he says, I don't want any liberation anymore. If he says even that, he will still be liberated. He'll be gone back. He can't come back from that state anymore. Back to our state, where we are now. In the state of egoism, egotic state. In that, it is not possible for them to come back. Similarly, if he says that, I want to experience that Maya again, or bondage again, that's not possible for him to experience it again. It's not possible for him to have it again, bondage. Because he has gone beyond that. Jnaneshwar says this in his Bhagavad Gita commentary. That's called Jnaneshwari. In Jnaneshwari, there's another book, Amrutanubhavam, experience of that realized state. Jnaneshwar has written all this when he was 16 years old. And in that book he says here, one who has realized this truth, even if he invites the bondage to come back, material existence to come back, they won't come. He can't have it anymore, he says. So, and he gives an example also there. What he says is that suppose a cat is sitting there and you bring this parrot, bring a parrot in front of the cat and you say to the parrot to sing a song. Parrot won't be able to sing. Why? Because the cat is sitting there, isn't it? So similarly, Jnaneshwari says there that suppose you have the light in your hand and you say to the darkness, please come, but you've got the light in the hand. Will the darkness come? Darkness cannot come. Similarly, when we have self-realization and when you have realized that truth inside, then Atma is present everywhere. Atma, realization of the Atma has happened. Self has been realized. In that state, this darkness of Ajnanam or Avidya or Maya cannot be present there anymore. They have disappeared. They have all disappeared. Because the very nature of the self is self-illumination. It is on its own, it's full of knowledge. It's full of knowledge. So one who has realized the tattvam, for him there is no more bondage. There is no more bondage. And that tattvam realization or tattvajnanam is called samadhi state. Is called samadhi state. Tattvatma bhodagaiveva samadhi iti kathyate in the Upanishads. So tattvajnanam is samadhi, and that is what in Jnanamargam they say, sahajam nirvikalpa samadhi. They call it sahaja nirvikalpa samadhi. What does that mean? Sahaja means natural thing of the self. Self's pure nature, what the self is actually. Nirvikalpam, no vikalpam inside. No thought wave is affecting that, and in the samadhi state. So that person, even if he comes into vyavaharam in this world, if he has to do some transactions in this world, and if he has to do some work in this world, this realization inside won't leave him. It won't leave him. He is always experiencing that, even though he is doing with his body some karma activities in this world. And suppose sometimes, after that realization has happened, that person will still be in this world, after realizing his identity. He has realized the self, and this I am the doer has left him. He is not there anymore, I am the doer. That means ahankaram has, these two things, to know that ahankaram has completely disappeared, the proof of that is, I am the doer has gone completely from him. So when this I am the doer, I mean, in other words, kartrutvam has completely gone away, then he is experiencing the realization of the self at that time. Still, the body is there. Body hasn't gone. Because the body is there, still there can be some prarabdham there. Body has to experience some prarabdham in this world. So, and due to that prarabdham, there will be some vyavaharam also. First thing is, he has realized inside. But body still has not left him. Why? Because body will be taken away from him by the material nature when the prarabdham is finished. So due to the presence of the prarabdham, and due to the presence of the prarabdham, body is there. Due to the presence of the body, there will be some vyavaharam. It's because of the body we have vyavaharam, isn't it? In this world, why do we conduct vyavaharam? Vyavaharam means transactions. Transactions are because of the existence of the body. Is it not? We go to work for what? Because of the body. We have to earn money for what? Because of the body. We have to sleep. Why? Because of the body. We have to take food. Why? Because of the body. Everything, if you finally look, you will see most of the 90% of things what you do is because of this body. So this body is existing. It won't go. Realization has happened inside. But prarabdham is not over. And therefore vyavaharam will continue. Still there will be one. But even if he is doing vyavaharam in this world, transactions in this world, that consciousness of the self, realization inside, is burning inside still. That has not left him. It's a very unusual state. This is the state of these great souls, Jadabharata, Rishabhadev and all that. If you read Bhagavatam, you will see what he says there about Rishabhadev's state. When he was leaving his palace and he starts his journey, when he starts his journey, inside the self-realized state, it's burning inside in Rishabhadev. And outside, he is not even conscious that the body is present there. To such an extent, he is free from the body. He is extent free from the body. And when he is free from this body, he is inside, totally free. Externally, it's like any car is going on the street, the body is going in the street, like that. He is not conscious of that body. Body is going, just like any car is going through the street, the body is going through the street. But outside people, when they are looking at him, what do they see? They are only seeing his body. They can't see that realization inside. So he is walking without clothes and the matted hair. And he has decided that he won't speak to anybody. It's taken a decision. All these realized persons, they don't want to speak because they are enjoying inside from the self. That is why you find that he blocked his mouth with a stone, so he doesn't want to reply anybody, anything, any questions. People were taking it that he was a mad person. They were throwing stones at him. People were throwing stones at him. And they have done a lot of things very offensive to him. But his state is that he is free from this material existence and he is free from this false ego as well. All these things has gone out. What has left him? Ego has gone. Material existence has gone away. Birth and death has gone away for him. He knows that there is no such thing called a death anymore. Dehastho bina dehastha. That state. He does not know what death means anymore. We only know death, isn't it? We don't know anything else. What we know is death. But what he knows is, he doesn't know what death means. And he doesn't know what birth means. But imagine that state. At least we can imagine that in our mind, what it's like to be free from death. Always in the liberated state. That is why, that is what they call in the Shastram as moksham or liberation. Jivan mukta state, self-realized state, atma sakshalkaram, nirvanam. All these are different terminologies used to address that state. To address that state. What is the reason for that, for this state? Ego has gone. What is left? Ego has left. Once the ego has gone, kartrutvam has gone, everything, that person has gone, in other words. Kartrutvam has gone. Who is the person? It is this ego is the person we are referring to. And who is that person? It is ahangaram is the person. But ahangaram has gone, kartrutvam has gone, person has gone with that. He is not there anymore. What is inside then? Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam. Eternal, pure, fully conscious, always liberated state. That knowledge is inside, nothing else left. So, once the reason that is the ego has left, then person has gone. That person has gone. So, if you ask this question, that when the ego has gone, has the person gone? The answer is, what has happened there is, when the ego is not there, all what has happened is, when the ego is not there, his real identity manifested in its pure form. That's what has happened. Our real swarupam as Atma was there already. All what has happened is, when the ego left, that real swarupam of Atma manifested in the proper way. What is covering Atma at the moment? It is that ego. Ego is the one covering. Now, this is in the Jnana Margam. That is how it happens. If it is in the Bhakti Margam, let's see how it happens. In the Bhakti Margam, it is a little different there. In the Bhakti process, how will you get rid of this ego from inside? In the problem what we have in the Bhakti is, we are always saying that if I don't have that ego, I can't get things done in this world. Is it not? We always have that difficulty. That suppose I'm a devotee, and because I don't want to have any ego inside, and if you act in that way, nothing will get done here. Isn't it? Nothing will be done here. And ego has taught us this lesson. Ego has taught us this lesson. That abhimanam or ego, it has taught us this lesson. And that lesson is this. That it's a kind of a hypnotized state. It has hypnotized us in this way. And we are in that state at the moment. Abhimanam or ego has convinced us that you have to look after yourself. If you don't look after yourself, you won't be able to live in this world. Somehow or the other, this ego has hammered this into our head. It has hammered this into our head. It's always telling us that if you don't act, if you don't look after yourself, you will be lost in this world. You'll be lost in this world. So, somehow or the other, we want to retain this ego in this world, to maintain this ego. And all our activities in this world is to keep that ego intact. The techniques for that is what we do in this world. If you look into our activities in this world, in a certain level if you analyze, why do we go to work? Why do we do various things? Somehow or the other, protecting that ego's, ego is looked after by our various activities. All what it's saying is that this is the makeup we do for the ego to survive here. So, question is that if the ego completely disappears, how will I live in this world? How will I live in this world? Problem is, the reality is, once this ego completely disappears, that is when you come to that state like Jadabharata, or like Rishabhadev, or like Sukadev Goswami, or like Dattatreya, and many others like that, all the Rishis. They are in that state of freedom from the ego. So this, for a devotee, for him, he has to learn this. That ego is not meant for to be strengthened. It's not meant to be strengthened. So therefore, he has to look at the nature and learn from the nature many, many things. If you look at material nature, you will see all the very powerful forces here. How do they operate? A realized soul also operates in the same way. For example, when a cyclone comes, cyclone doesn't have any false ego, is there? Cyclone just comes and it does what he wants to do and it goes away. Similarly, the sun, they are all realized souls. Sun is a realized personality, isn't it? So when sun is considered to be in the jnana margam, sun is considered to be the topmost jnani. Realized soul is, he is sun, the sun planet, is considered. That is why Krishna got upset with Arjuna for that. You know, in the fourth chapter, when Krishna, fourth chapter I think, Imam vivasvade yogam proktavanaham avyayam vivasvan manuve praha manu ikshaguve bravin evam parambara praptam imam rajarshayo vidu sakali neha mahada yoga nashta parandava. Krishna is saying to Arjuna, Arjuna, in this dynasty of starting from the sun, all the Kshatriya kings who were born in that were great, great personalities. But your generation, he says, they are the worst of all. Talking about Kauravas and the Pandavas, he is saying that such a useless ones, he said. Krishna said to them, you are the most useless ones I have come across in this whole dynasty, in the solar dynasty. Because Krishna is saying, right from the sun, I have given this knowledge to sun, and this knowledge kept passing through one after the other. Vaivaswan, Mainu, Ichuagu, in that way. And all of them, if you look back, they have all gone to the forest, realized the truth and went back to the spiritual world. And you lot are here fighting each other. So Krishna has completely ridiculed them. Both the that is where Krishna gets upset with the Kauravas and the Pandavas. He says, that is why I have decided to finish you up all here now. Krishna has taken that decision on that basis. Because he has given this knowledge and that knowledge was lost at that time. Vaivaswan manive praha mani ruchagave praveer evam parambara praptam imam rajarshayo vidu sakale neha mahada yogo nashta parandava. That yogo nashta parandava happened in this generation of Kauravas and the Pandavas. That's upset Krishna. Why? Where was yogo nashta parandava happened? At this point in the parambara. Yoga nashta parandava. So that is where it was lost. Yogam was lost. Jnanam was there, but the yogam was lost. Remember when we discussed that verse, we talked about that jnanam and yogam, the difference. Jnanam is there. Jnanam is there even now. But yogam is lost. Once the yogam is lost, that jnanam is useless.
So, those verses you can understand, Krishna's anger towards the Kshatriyas, you can see there. He says, in this great Kshatriya race, starting from the sun, this knowledge has survived all the way right up to now. But you lot have completely spoiled it, he said. And Arjuna understood that, what Krishna was saying. Yogo nashta parandava. It's a kind of a rebuke to the Kshatriya race from Krishna at that point for what has happened. So, you can see Krishna's forces, like the cyclone, there is no false ego in operating. The sun has no false ego, isn't it? Every morning comes, goes, does what he has to do, and he goes away. Similarly, if you look at the lightning, like these are all forces in the nature. They are operating without any false ego. They operate there. So, how they can operate without any ego? How come we need this ego to operate? Don't you find that very strange? So many forces in the nature are operating without any ego. They just do what they have to do and they go, come and do and they go away. Not even looking for any results here. When the cyclone comes, lightning happens, when the sun comes, these are all forces in the nature, is it not? There are forces in the nature. They operate completely independently, but there is no ego behind that. I am the doer. And they come and they do and they go away. Similarly, Jnani also, even though he is present, his body also, even though he is present here, his body is operating without any ego. And that is what is as Abhimana Grasam. Abhimana Grasam means without any ego. Without any ego, he is able to operate. So, when you see a realized soul conducting vyavaharam in this world, that is how you have to look at. Compare that with the sun or with the other forces in the nature. We shouldn't compare him with other people in this world. That makes no sense. Because just like the sun has no ego, and the cyclone has no ego, lightning has no ego, similarly a realized soul also, already he has left the body. Body is doing some vyavaharam in this world due to prarabdham. That is not conducted under ego. So there is a big difference between them and the ordinary people. So, when other people are looking at him, although it may appear as though he has got ego, because outside people when they look at him, they think, oh, he is also like us, where is the difference between him and us? They may think like that. But in his experience level, there is not even a slightest trace of ego there, present there. And he will be able to operate like that throughout the rest of his life. So, by now, he has become an instrument in Krishna's hands. And that body becomes an instrument in Krishna's hands. Therefore, in the bhakti process, this happens through Sharanagati. And so, through Sharanagati, the same realization happens, what happens through Jnana Margam. Either the option is this, either you inquire about yourself, who you are, and in that way you have to get rid of the ego from inside. Otherwise, hand over yourself to Krishna, that ego to Krishna, and completely leave that to Krishna, whatever he wants to do with it, and that is Sharanagati. That is what the whole message in the Bhagavad Gita is. One option is, as Krishna is saying, inquire about the self and find out where that ahangaram is going, and you find that ahangaram is not real. It disappears. That is the Jnana Margam. Alternatively, hand over yourself means that ahangaram to Krishna and leave it to Krishna in such a way, anything that's happening, accept it without any complaint. Accepting that it is Krishna's. Krishna is operating through the body. Whatever good or bad comes here, without analyzing it, leave it to Krishna, and that is Sharanagati. And that is what Krishna is saying there. Sarva dharman parityajya mamegam sharanam raja aham tuam sarva pabebhyo moksha yishyami ma shucha. Krishna says, that abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. Ma shuchaha. Shokam mam krashi. Do not have any shokam, hankering, or dukham, or distress, any kind of distress. Ma megam aham tvam sarva bhavebhyo mokshayishyami ma shuchaha. Don't cry. Why? Hand over yourself to me. Hand over yourself to me. Krishna is saying, you hand over completely to me, sarva dharman parityajya. Now, here, sarva dharman parityajya is very easy to say. But, this is a difficult thing. Sarva dharman parityajya. Krishna is saying, give up all dharmam and surrender unto me. But people who don't have any dharmam, what will you give it then? People have got dharmam in their life, only they have to worry about giving the dharmam to Krishna. Krishna is saying, whatever dharmam you have, you give it to me. But people who don't have any dharmam, what will they give to Krishna? In other words, what is Krishna saying here is that, first of all, adharmobi grahyaha. First thing is that adharmam has to go. This verse is a little complicated in that sense. Before we talk about dharmam, adharmam must go in life. When we have you can also put it this way. Verse is saying sarva dharman parityajya. It doesn't say sarva adharmam parityajya, is it? So, you can argue that all dharmam you give up, adharmam you can carry on, because it's not saying anything here. There are people who are using this verse in that way. They use this verse to justify anything they do. What they are saying is, Krishna is saying, you don't have to follow any dharmam, because I have surrendered to Krishna. Therefore, no dharmam is important. And therefore, adharmam, Krishna has not mentioned anything because I am surrendered to Krishna. But Krishna, actually to understand that verse is, first thing is, we have to think about, this Bhagavad Gita is meant for those who have got dharmam. Who doesn't have any dharmam, this book doesn't apply. It has been spoken in the background of Varnashrama Dharma. Is it not? Because you can see from the very beginning, Krishna is talking about Chadruvarnim, Mayasashtam, Gunakarma Vibhagasha. So, those who have got dharmam, it is for them Bhagavad Gita is. Those who have no dharmam, but who have got only adharmam, Bhagavad Gita will not work for them. It doesn't have any importance to them. So, it is only one who is established in dharmam, for him, this hearing Bhagavad Gita as well as engage in sadhana, bhakti sadhana, all these things are only for that person who is following dharmam in life. And then one who has got complete dharmic way of life, he living in this world, and finally that person, he holds on to his dharmam in life. It is at that point Krishna is saying there, leave dharmam also. You understand? Initially, we have to leave behind all adharmam first. What is left behind is then dharmam. And with that dharmam, varnashrama dharmam, Krishna is saying, execute your life in this world. For eventually, give up that dharmam also and then surrender. This is how this verse has to be understood. Sarvadharman Parityajya. No other way it is possible to explain that verse. It won't make any sense. We make it sometimes oversimplify it. We say to anybody, all that you have to do is Sarvadharman Parityajya Maam Egam Sharanam Raja. As though we are perfect in our dharma. Everything what we do. That's not so. That's not like that. First thing, all dharma must leave us. We must come to the platform of dharmam. And in that state of dharmam, after practicing dharmam, Krishna says, eventually you can leave dharmam also
and surrender completely. And that is what this verse is all about. So, Mamekam means that without, except Krishna, without the self, realizing that, in other words, when you are leaving everything, that means after you have left adharmam first, now you are leaving dharmam also. When you are leaving dharmam, you have, at that point in time, you are attached to certain things. While living in dharmam, you are attached to certain things. For example, you have identification with the mind, with the intelligence, with the body, in the dharmam. When you are executing dharmam, you still have identification with the body, the mind, intelligence. Then you have identification with the sadhana, what you do in spiritual life, and all the austerities and penances what you are doing, meditation, and all your other experiences, and leaving behind all other material activities in this world and family affairs, sadhana, bhakti, upasana, all other things, all that things also you have to leave when you come to this stage. Do you understand? That, you see, after you have left adharmam, say you are in the dharmiya state, that means you are living in this world based on dharmam. And while living in dharmam, you are executing bhakti, sadhana, upasana, and your affairs in this world, your haram, whatever that is done. And you are identifying with your mind, body, intelligence, and so many ego, everything is present there. That is not gone. But still the life is dharmic. A lot of people in that state, is it not? They live a dharmic way of life, but still there is identification with the body, mind, intelligence, ego, and then they look after their material affairs in a dharmic way. And similarly, they have taken shelter of their sadhana, whatever they are performing, whatever sadhana they are doing, or upasana, or bhakti, and they have taken shelter of those things. Now at this stage, Krishna is saying, leave even that. At this stage. First you have to leave adharmam, then you have to leave dharmam, and while leaving dharmam, these are all part of that dharmam. Which one? Bhakti, sadhana, upasana, dhyanam, japam. You can leave all that at this stage. At this stage. So, those who have done like that, who are they the best? Gopis. Gopis are the best example for that. That is the reason Krishna has used that word, vraja. See that word? Mamekam sharanam vraja. Vraja means, it's referring to the gopis. Krishna has brought that in. There is nobody else who has done that better than the gopis. Gopis gave up everything in such a way. Yesterday, remember, we talked about vismartum naiva shaknuma. In the Bhagavatam, if you look, you will see there that
Punapunasmarayandi 1047. This is the Brahmagidam when Uddhava was sent to Vrindavanam. Krishna is sent to Vrindavanam. Uddhava came to see gopis. Krishna sent a message to gopis through Uddhava. Is it not? Punapunasmarayandi Nandagovasudam Bada Srinigede Talpadakir Vismartum Naiva Shatnuma. Vismartum naiva shaknuma. Gopis have come to that state. This is what is called Sarvadharman Paritejya Mamekam Sharanam Vraja. That is the perfect example of that. That they surrendered everything at the end, is it not? Gopis didn't care for anything after that relationship with Krishna has developed. Gopis have given up their family, children, husbands, gave up everything and came to surrender to Krishna. That is that state.
പുനഃപുനസ്മാരയന്തി നന്ദഗോപസുതം ബദാഹ ശ്രീനികേതേ തൽപദക്കേർ വിസ്മർത്തും നൈവ ശക്നുമാഹ. പുനഃപുനസ്മാരയന്തി, ഗോപീസ് ആർ സേയിങ്, ഈവൻ ഇഫ് യു വാണ്ട് ടു ഫർഗെറ്റ് കൃഷ്ണ, വി കാൻ്റ് ഫർഗെറ്റ് ഹിം നൗ. That stage, you see that? They want to forget Krishna, Krishna says we can't forget him. Puna puna smarayandi, again and again, Krishna is coming back inside. Nandagopasudam badaha, Nandagopasudam, Krishna is coming back to us. Shrinigedai talpadakke vismartum naiva shaknuma, vismartum naiva shaknuma. When we see Krishna's lotus feet, anywhere, remembrance is always there. It has never goes away from inside. So it is that verse is the representation of the Sarvadharman Paritya stage. Sarvadharman Paritya stage. So gopis have done that. Gopis are the best example for that. And Sharanam Vraja, Krishna is saying, Sharanam Vraja. Because this is Vrajabhumi. Where we are living is this Vrajabhumi. And there, this Vrajabhumi, whoever develops this Sarvadharma and Paritejya, he is performing Parivrajanam. One who performs Parivrajanam, he lives in Vrajam. Isn't it? One who performs Parivrajanam. Parivrajanam means completely surrender. Parivrajanam. When we say Vishnupada Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya, Parivrajanam means completely gave up connection with this world and wandering in this world in that way. So anywhere, such a person who have completely surrendered to Krishna and moving in this world, then he is living in Vrajam. Sarvadharman Parityajya Mamegam Sharanam Vraja, Krishna is saying. So surrender to Krishna completely, and therefore he is addressed as the Parivrajaka, one who lives in Vrajam. So, so wherever there are devotees, Krishna's devotees, proper pure devotees are living, that is Vrajabhumi. That place is Vrajam. Not only Vrindavanam. It's not only Vrindavanam is Vrajam. This is a misunderstanding that Vrindavanam is Vrajam. Vrindavanam is Vrajam, we are spoken because gopis live there. Similarly, devotees like the gopis, wherever there are present, that place is Vrajam. That place is Vrajam. Wherever, anywhere, pure devotees, great souls like the gopis, wherever such devotees are present, it is Vrajam there. It's not different. It's not different. It's not due to the physical presence of the land it is Vrajam. It's because of the presence of the gopis it has been called Vrajam. Because they performed Parivrajanam there. What did they do? This Sarvadharman Paritejya Mamegam Sharanam Vraja. That stage they have attained in Vrindavanam. So, Mamega Sharanam Vraja Aham Tvam Sarva Babebhyo. Aham Tva Sarva Babebhyo. What is that Pabam? Krishna is saying. Sarva Babebhyo, he says. There is only one Pabam we all have. And that is the greatest Pabam. What's that Pabam? Ahangaram. Ahangaram is the Pabam. So, Krishna says, as long as you have this Ahangaram inside, even the pious activities what you are performing, that is also Pabam. As long as you have the Ahangaram inside. You see, Ahangaram is our Pabam. There's nothing, no other Pabam inside. This Ahangaram, ego inside, that is our Pabam. When Krishna is saying, Sarva Babebhyo, people are saying, oh, even if I go and kill 10 people, and if I surrender to Krishna, everything will be taken care of. That's not what it means. Sarva Babebhyo means that all your sinful actions also is a result of this Ahangaram. Ahangaram is the root cause of all our sinful activities, is it not? So therefore Krishna is saying that once that Ahangaram is gone, the Pabam or the sinful reactions that is tied to this Ahangaram will also go. You got to look at it that way. That when the Ahangaram disappears, who has done all the sinful activities? Ahangaram has done that. Self has not done that. Ahangaram has done that. So once you get rid of that one from inside, Ahangaram from inside, Sarvabhavyebhyo goes. Sarvabhavam also goes along with that. Because Pavam is linked to Ahangaram, is connected to Ahangaram. As long as the Ahangaram inside, Pavam Punyam will be there, sinful activity and pious activity will be there, and their results also will be there. Who experiences the result? Ahangaram experiences. Who experiences the result of the pious activities? Ahangaram experiences. Atma doesn't experience. But if you take out that person who is experiencing it, then where is the sinful activity and pious activity? No results either. So that is why it mentions there, as long as this Ahangaram is there, Pabam Punyam is there. Sinful life and pious life will be there. So if you have Ahangaram there, then in order that to enjoy the results of your pious activities, you have to take birth again. And similarly, that results of that pious activities also is limited. It's not unlimited, it's limited, isn't it? Equally, the results of your sinful activities also limited. Both are limited. Pious activities and sinful activities, the results of both are limited. So long as there is a person inside who is willing to experience the results of the pious activities and the sinful activities, as long as the person is inside to experience that, you will ever have realization of the self. Realization of the self. That's why once the Ahangaram disappears, there is no Punyam, there is no Papam. There is no pious activity, there is no sinful activity. Why? Because there is nobody there to experience the result of your sinful activity or the pious activity. That is what's happening then. This verse is very... It opens up a lot of things. Sarva dharman parityajya mamegam sharanam vraja. Aham tvam sarva bhavebhyo mokshayishyami mashucha. So Krishna is saying that as long as there is a person inside who is experiencing the sinful activity and the pious activities, as long as that person is inside, he will never have the experience of the self. Self-realization won't happen to him. Because Ahangaram is the one, false ego is the one who is doing the sinful thing and the pious thing. So, so whether this Ahangaram does a pious activity or a sinful activity, it is within that boundary or the limitations of this sinful activity and the pious activity, that is where his ego is floating within that. His ego is floating within that. Pious activity and sinful activity. But the ego is floating within that circle. So, Krishna is saying, hand over that ego back to me. Hand it over back to me. Give me, that is what Krishna said to Mahabali. Remember? In that third step, in the Bhagavatam, that's a famous thing. Mahabali had to hand over that ego. Yashoda Devi also had to hand over the ego. In all these devotees' life, if you look, you will see, eventually, they had to have. Final thing that you hand over is yourself. We can hand over our wealth and all that. That is not a very big thing in this world. A lot of people have done that. They have handed over their wealth to Krishna and said, that's it, I don't need any more anything. Some people have given up their family for Krishna's sake. Some people have given up their wealth for Krishna's sake. But Krishna is saying, after you have given up everything, finally, you hand over yourself to me. And what is that yourself? This Ahangaram. That is what Krishna is looking for. Krishna is not bothered whether you hand over the wealth or not. But this ego, he wants it. You can't have that and separately operate from Krishna. So, and that is exactly what he told Mahabali. He says to Mahabali, first Mahabali handed over everything, all the planetary system, everything. Then Krishna is saying to him, you hand over yourself to me, he says to Mahabali. Mamegam sharanam vraja. And at that time, Krishna is saying to Mahabali, that's why Krishna says that 2 feet land is more than enough for me. I don't need. Practically what Krishna is saying to him is that your so-called property and all that is not of much importance to me. More I am concerned about your ego. And mamegam sharanam vraja. If you do like that, Krishna is saying there, sarva bhavebhyo mokshayishyami. sarvabhavebhyo mokshayishyami. Whatever sinful activities we may have done in the past, doesn't matter what it is, and whether it may be good or bad, we may have done good things also, we may have done a lot of bad things as well in our previous life and this life also, and the good side and the bad side, we may be analyzing it. And Krishna is saying, along with you, all those good things and bad things what you have done, everything I will take it away. I'll take responsibility for everything, but hand over that ego. It is that ego what Krishna is after in all of us. In all of us. He's not bothered about the body so much. Body, Krishna knows, it's not Krishna's, it's Prakriti. Prakriti will take it away. Mind will go to the Prakriti. Intelligence will go to the Prakriti. But in this, what is present from Krishna is that Ahangara idiyame bhinna prakriti ashtatha. The ashtatha prakriti, the last one in the 7th chapter. Remember? That abareyam idastvanyam prakritim bhumi rapanalo vayu khamano buddhi revaja. Ahangara idiyame bhinna prakriti ashtatha. Abareyam idastvanyam prakritim vidhime param jivabhudam mahabaho yedam dharide jagat. It is on because of this ahangaram. So, Krishna is saying, mokshayishyami. Mokshayishyami means, I will free you, or I will release you. So, one by one, all our upadhis, Krishna has taken away from us. Body, mind, intelligence, and finally ego. And Krishna is saying, I will take the responsibility of making you perfect. Making you perfect. Like they give this example, that when the children, when they go out and play, in the ground or in the mud, and they get themselves dirty. They come back to the mother. Mother bathes them and wash them, clean them, everything. Similarly, Krishna is saying that the Sharanagati process is like that. Go back to Krishna and hand over everything to Him. All our sinful things we have done, all even the pious things we have done, everything hand it over back to Krishna. And that is called Sharanagati, including ourselves. That is called prapatti or sharanagati. And if we do that, when you do that, Krishna says, then I take care. I will look after that. Moksha ishyami mashucha. So, in reality, when we, actual sharanagati means death. It's a kind of death, this, isn't it? Ego cannot operate anymore. You are completely finished with that. So, all you are doing is, your so-called personality, you are throwing it in front of Krishna. Here I am. Take it. That is Sharanagati. Sharanagati means it's a lot. That is why it's not so easy. We say Sharanagati, Sharanagati. Like many people say surrender to Krishna. We misunderstand everything many times. We make it too simple. It's not that simple. Sharanagati is not so simple. Sharanagati means not only you have to hand over everything, you have to hand over yourself. And that's where the difficulty is. So, we are handing over our personality, our individuality. That is what the most difficult thing to hand over to anybody. So it is because of this that in some instances, when people commit suicide, is it not? People sometimes commit suicide. At the time when they committed suicide, at that point, self-realization has happened to them. Because when somebody gives up their body, why is that they give up their body? That means that they want to be free from the upadhi. If you talk about that in the spiritual way. From spiritual point of view, suicide means you want to free yourself from the upadhi. Is it not? We don't want upadhi. Upadhi is our problem, isn't it? So, suicide means that person is so disgusted with the upadhi. That's why he wants to leave the upadhi. And certain instances, that is again Krishna's grace that is. It has not happened to everybody. But in some instances, this has happened. Some people, they have suffered heavily in life. And due to that very high degree of distress that they have experienced in life, finally they want to leave this world. And say goodbye to this body once for all. A stage can come. I'm not saying it will happen to anybody. It can happen to some people. At some time it has happened like that. That you get so distressed in life and so disgusted with this life that you want to move away from this world and from this body once for all. Completely free yourself from this body. And you don't want, you want to have another existence out of this body. Freedom from the body, freedom from the mind, freedom from the intelligence, freedom from the ego. Because when he has made up his mind to commit the suicide, practically what he is doing is, he wants to destroy this ego inside, once for all. Because he knows that as long as I am identifying with this, I will have this problem. And this identification is due to that false ego. Due to the false ego. And that is why, in some instances, not all, when they have committed suicide, many people, suicide, they experience self-realization at the time of death. At the time of death. Arunagirinatha's famous story in Thiruvannamalai is based on this. He was a personality, very interesting personality, in the sense that life was not always very good for him. His life wasn't very good. Arunagirinatha's life was not very good. He had committed a lot of sinful things, didn't live a proper life in this world, but and suffered also heavily because of that. Suffered very heavily because of that. Got very ill, very sick, and the whole society rejected him. It was a very awkward situation to survive in this world. So finally, what did he do? He decided that on the eastern entrance to the Thiruvannamalai temple, there is a huge tower. He managed to climb himself to the top of the tower. He made up his mind, I'm going to give up my body. And he was sick, he was so sick, and he struggled very hard. It took days for him to come to the top of the tower. Because it's stone, you have to keep climbing through the stairs to get there. But inside, he has made up his mind to leave the body. He's made up his mind to leave the body. He thought, what is the point in existing like this in this world? It was such a miserable existence for him. Didn't want to live in this world anymore. So, after making up his mind, he climbed the stairs to the very top of that tower. And when he reached the top of the tower, and he says, he was a devotee of Kartikeya, Subramanya's devotee he was. He decided to jump from there. And while jumping, he was addressing Kartikeya, calling him Subramanya's name, and he jumped from there. And when he jumped and fell on the ground, upside down, and when he opened his eyes, nothing has happened to the body. Not only that, a young boy was nursing him, keeping him on the lap, was nursing him. And he put his hand on the forehead of Arunagirinatha and says to him that be peaceful in Shanti. Blessed him and the boy left. And that is why when you enter into the temple today, the first shrine what you see is this Arunagirinatha's worship of that deity there. There has separately a shrine has been built where Arunagirinatha has jumped from the top of that tower. Tower is quite tall, about 250 feet or 300 feet tall from where he jumped. So, what happened to him? Because he chanted the holy name of Subramanya. Subramanya is who? Subramanyam, the word Subramanyam comes, is the perfection of Brahmanyam. That is why he is called Subramanyam. Who is called Kartikeya, Skanda. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, he comes as Samba, Jambavati's son, Samba, who won and kidnapped Lakshmana, kidnapped Duryodhana's daughter, Lakshmana. So, he is the same personality, Lord Shiva's son as Kartikeya, he was a devotee of that Subramanya, Subramanya's devotee. So, Subramanyam blessed him in that way, that he was relieved from all the distress. So from that onwards, Arunagirinatha sang many, many songs glorifying him. They were very, very famous songs. So, when this instruction was given to him, he was protected from that, that without using the body and the mind, he learned this. Arunagirinatha's teaching later in this world is to stay quiet in this world, not to get affected by anything. Freedom from the sinful activity and pious activity. So, he learned that 12 years he sat like that after receiving this instruction from Subramaniam. 12 years Arunagirinatha sat in that Shanti state because he received these transcendental instructions from him. And even though in those 12 years when he was living there, that he experienced that blissful experience of the self happened to him, and he spent the rest of his life in that way. So Arunagirinatha mentions in his songs later that my spiritual master has come and instructed me in this way, and it was like charging a battery, he says. I never had that experience before. So what has happened to him now? When he was giving up this body, at the time when he gave up his body, finally he decided inside, I don't want this body anymore. But you got to be reach that state before you give up the body. Just because Arunagirinatha did that, we don't go and do that and see what happened. That won't work. That is that state of that personality. What he's saying here is that all impurities inside has completely gone away. Completely gone away. So here Arunagirinatha's teaching is that karmam won't solve the problem. Karmam won't solve the problem, and only problem karmam does is it creates more ego, and karmam creates more kartrutvam. Kartrutvam is created by the karmam. So more and more you are operating with karmam, and the ego builds up, and what it creates is more problems, and this secret we don't easily understand. We don't easily understand that what karmam does to us. For us it is like this, we keep on doing things one after the other, so many different things in this world. And you keep on doing that, and abhimanam or that ego is operating inside. What damage it's doing to us, we do not always take notice of that. Just like you can see, in the vacant state, all what we are doing is based on our ego, is it not? Our ego is operating throughout the vacant state. And after engaging in the vacant state in the karmam for many, many hours, you go into the deep sleep state, and then you wake up, you feel everything very fresh inside. Is it not? You feel very fresh. So what is the reason for that? Because when you went to the deep sleep state, you had no ego. Ego, kartrutvam has left. Ego has left. And that is what has given you that freshness inside. When you come back to the when you go into the deep sleep state, when you come back to the vacant state, why do you feel fresh, refreshed? That's because this damage what the ego has done in the vacant state was completely removed in the deep sleep state, and it has refreshed you and sent you back again to face another day which is full of karma, activities and ego. That's what has happened. So therefore, from this you can understand that in the deep sleep state there was no ego, and without ego, when you were established in the deep sleep state, that was happiness. Proper happiness or shanti was experienced there. So it is not by sleeping that you got that. It is actually happened because of the freedom from the absence of the false ego. That is what has given you that freshness in the deep sleep, not due to the sleeping. Sleeping is a mode, but that is what's happened to the body and the mind. But what has actually refreshed you is the absence of the ego in the deep sleep state. That's what has refreshed us. So when we stayed for some time in the deep sleep state, when you woke up in the morning, again you got the energy back to do something more. So the energy comes back, urjam. Urjam comes back that when you removed that ego from inside for some time, that's when you got it back. Whereas if you continuously work, engage in action, in karma, then what happens? The ego works, ego gets strengthened, and eventually you collapse. Is it not? So that is why you can see, if you compare the vacant state with the deep sleep state, in deep sleep state, we recuperate everything, recuperate our energy back. In the vacant state, you dissipate all your energy. When ego is operating, all energy is lost. When in the absence of ego, in the deep sleep state, all energy is coming back to us. Is it not? That is the proof of that. That ahankaram, all ahankaram does is, it takes away our energy. It drains the energy from us. Whereas, absence of the ego generates energy in us. Generates the energy in us. So that is what Krishna is saying. When you, now, interesting thing, this is happening in the deep sleep state. So what has happened in the deep sleep state? We have handed over, the ahankaram has gone, and therefore we got energized and we walk back in the, gone back in the vacant state. If this can happen in the vacant state, in the way you have been in the deep sleep state, that means without any false ego, if that same experience happens in the vacant state, that is called Sharanagati. You understand? That is all it is. If you want to explain it a little better way, Sharanagati we say. But this impact of Sharanagati in us, you have to know that. We have the vacant state and the deep sleep state. Vacant state, we are operating under the effect of ahankaram, false ego. It drains all the energy. Except that ahankaram gets fed. It gets stronger and stronger. Finally we collapse. In the deep sleep state, all the ahankaram has gone. Therefore, if you have slept for a half, 6 hours or 8 hours, whatever it may be, in deep sleep, when you wake up, you feel completely refreshed. Why? Because there was no false ego in you at that time, in the during the deep sleep state. So the absence of false ego has given all the energy back to you. Now, that experience what you had in the deep sleep state, if you can bring that into the vacant state, that is what is called Sharanagati. Sharanagati. And that Sharanagati is the one Krishna is talking about here in this verse. So, in that vacant state, when does that happen? When that happens, it has to be exactly like in the deep sleep state. No idea who is doing. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, has to completely go. That means, ahankaram has to go, the mind has to go, the intelligence has to go, the body has to go in the vacant state. That is called self-realization. That's called self-realization. So, so again, Sharanagati, once you hand over everything to Krishna, making that happen, what's happened in the deep sleep state, making that happen in the vacant state is the Sharanagati process. Is this Sharanagati process? Because all problems is coming from this ego. All problems coming from the ego. And to do good things, to do bad things, in order to do something, ego is required. Ego is required. Because once you are given up the ego, the good and the bad, everything will go along with that. And right and wrong will go from us. This right and wrong and all is because of ego. Once the ego is gone, there is no right or wrong. Once the ego is gone, there is no good or bad. And all of them has gone back to Krishna with the ego. With the ego. And the person himself has gone there. It's vacant there. The person himself has gone. So, and then after that point, whatever is going on, whichever way Krishna is running that person, according to that, his body moves in this world. Because the person has gone. Up to that point, he was running the show. Now Krishna is running the show. His body is moving around in this world due to prarabdham, just like exactly like a car or a bus goes on the street. It has no particularly any direction in that way. So, and therefore, however Krishna uses that body, accordingly that body operates in this world, and therefore that body cannot do anything wrong. Because Krishna is operating that body then, anymore. So many people have this question also, if it is like that, I can do some nonsense and say Krishna has done that. People do that, is it not? They'll go and do some nonsense and say, you can say that Krishna has done that, I didn't do it. You can say like that, is it not? Because I've done Sharanagari, and if I'm, everything Krishna is doing now, I'm not doing anything anymore. So, but there's nothing wrong, you can say that. But if you do something wrong, and if you get beaten, then you have to say, Krishna is beating that also. If you are willing to accept that, then you can say that. Otherwise you can't say like that. If you are accepting that, then you can do it. If you get beaten after that, because everything Krishna is doing then, isn't it? Generally, Vedantis are criticized that way. He says, if everything is Brahman, then how can Brahman suffer in this world? Once it so happened that an elephant was mad elephant. A person was walking, elephant was coming opposite. And the elephant was so mad, somebody told this man, who was a Vedantist, he told him that, look, that elephant has gone mad, it has lost control. Be careful, don't go against the elephant. The elephant will kill you. So this person says, no, I have realized that I am Brahman, elephant is also Brahman, so how will that can do anything else? He said, that's fine. Then if the elephant hits you, you tell the elephant that you are Brahman and see what the elephant is saying back to you. So similarly, anything if you want to do selfishly in this world, you require this ahankaram inside for selfishness. If you want to do anything for selfish reasons, you require this ahankaram. Without ahankaram, you can't do anything selfishly. So, if this ahankaram itself is, in another form, it is called selfishness. Selfishness is another manifestation of this ahankaram. So, so if you say something is wrong, that for example, if you have stabbed somebody, and you cannot do it unless you have some hate towards that person. Dvesham, is it not? So where did the dvesham comes? Dvesham or hate has come from ahankaram. Dvesham has come from the ahankaram. Once the ahankaram has completely gone, then there cannot be any more dvesham, hate. Once the ahankaram has completely gone, there won't be any more dvesham. And because there is no ahankaram, there won't be any dvesham. And because there is no dvesham, he won't be able to stab anybody. That is how it happens. So, so therefore, all sinful reactions, good or bad, whatever it may be, will go along with the false ego. False ego is the one that keeps everything together. So, not only pāpam, puṇyam, puṇya karmam will also leave the body. Puṇya pāpe vidhuya, shruti, Vedam says, puṇya pāpe vidhuya, puṇyam and pāpam goes away. In the Upanishads also, you will see this, in the yathā paśi, yeah. It says here, that yathā paśya paśyade rukma varnam upaiti. Rukma varnam upaiti. That is, that yada pasya pasyade rukma varnam kartharam esham purusham brahma yonim. Mundaka Upanishad. Tad vidvan punya bhabe vidhuyam niranjana paramam samyam upaiti. In the Mundaka Upanishad you will see the statement. Yada pasya pasyade rukma varnam kartharam esham purusham brahma yonim. Tad vidvan punya bhabe vidhuya niranjana paramam samyam upaiti. Both pavam and punyam will leave that person when ahankaram goes away. And what is that? He says, also interesting thing, yada pasya pasyade irukma varnam. Irukma varnam means that golden color comes back to the, remember this golden color? Where is that golden color? Golden color is referring to, remember those two bodies, two birds sitting on the tree? That is the golden bird is the one, Paramatma, sitting there. Jivalma is the one which becomes darker and darker when it engages in karma. Finally, when this bird, Jivalma, when it goes back finally to Paramatma, he joins the Paramatma and the golden color of the Paramatma comes back. Dva suparna saija sakhaya samana vrucham parishasya jadi tayoranyam pipala swadvati. That pipala swadvati, that this bird was trying to engage in enjoying the fruit of the tree. Remember that in the Bhagavatam we discussed this in the 11th canto. The two birds sitting on the tree. Inside Jivatma and Paramatma, the two birds are there. In an allegorical way it's spoken, as though two birds are sitting, Jivatma and Paramatma. Jivatma wants to enjoy the world, enjoy the fruits. And finally, it keeps enjoying, and finally it gets fed up, and then it wants to go back. Every time when it bites a bitter fruit, it looks at the Paramatma, Antaryami. When it gets a sweet fruit, it goes another step further to get another fruit. Talking about us all. So, this Jivatma, Paramatma, that is what Upanishad is also saying. Yada pashya pashyade rukma varnam kartharamesham purusham brahma yonim. That rukma varnam, that golden color comes back when it gets closer and closer to the, when it goes away and further from the Paramatma Antaryami, he color changes. Why? Due to all the sinful activities, this color changes. But when it gets more and more Krishna conscious and gets closer to Antaryami, Rukma Varnam, the golden color comes back to him. So, Rukma Varnam means golden color. So, now if you ask the question, has Atma got a color like that? No, that's not what it means. Rukma Varnam means Atma is self-illuminating, isn't it? Atma is knowledge, pure consciousness. And that knowledge is self-illuminating and therefore is called Rukmavarnam. So, once you see that, Kartaramisham, he says, Kartaramisham Purusham Brahma Yonim. Kartaramisham Purusham Brahma Yonim. So, that, what is happening to him now, when Jivatma has got back to this Paramatma, Antaryami, Paramatma is Antaryami, when he has got back to Antaryami, Kartaramisham Purusham Brahma Yonim. He is seeing that he is the Karta. Who? Krishna is the Karta. Antaryami is the Karta. He is not the Karta. Kartaramisham Paramam Brahma Yonim. Purusham Brahma Yonim. He says here. And Vidwan Nama Rubena Tada Punya Babe Vidhuya. Tada Vidwal Punya Babe Vidhuya. At that time, Punyam Papam, everything has gone from him. Why? Ahangaram has gone. And Niranjanam Paramam Sam Upaidi. Niranjanam Paramam Sami Upaidi. He has become completely purified Sami Upaidi. In other words, he has become that Antaryami himself. Therefore, Krishna is saying here, Arjuna, surrender. Arjuna, surrender. And I will take care of everything. Aham Tvam Sarva Bhavebhyo Mokshayishyami Mahashucha. Krishna is saying here. So, we'll have a short break then.
Hare Krishna 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 Hare Cheto Darpanam Arjanam Bhavamah Navagni Nirvapanam Shreyakkaidava Chandriya Vidaranam Vidyavadhu Jeevanam Anandam Budivardhanam Padivada Purnamrida Aswadhanam Sarvabda Subhanam Param Vijayade Shri Krishna Sankirtanam Nanam Agari Bahuda Vija Sarva Shakti Tathapidanimidasmaranenakalam Edadrishitavakrupabhagavanmamavi Nurdaivamidrishamihajani Nanuraga Trinaramishunijenam Taroramisahishtunam Amaninamanadena Kirtaniyasadahari NathanamnajanamnasundarimKavidambhajagadishakamaye Mama janmani janmani shvare bhavadad bhaktirahai dugitvayim Ayyanandamanujakinkaram padidamham shame bhavam budau Kripayatava padapangajastitadule sadrasham vijindayam Nayanam galadashudharaya vadanam jadgadarudhaya gira pulagarnajidam gadavabhutavanmama grahane bhavishyarim yida idam nimeshena chachusha pravishayidam shunya idam jagal sarvam govinda virahe name ashleshyavapadaradam panishtumam shanamar mahadam karyoduva Yathatadava vidadadulam mano malprananathastu naevana param.
Sarvadharman parityajya mamekam sharanam praja aham tvam sarvabhavebhyo mokshayishyami ma shujam. So, Krishna saying to Arjuna that this surrender process, what so far Krishna talked about in the Bhagavad Gita, when this verse has been commended by all the great personalities for many, 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 many pages. Here in the Shankara Bhashyam also, we will see that first thing what he mentioned was Sarva Dharman Sarvechadade Dharmaha Cha Sarva Dharmaha Tan Dharma Shabdena Atra Adharmaha Abhigrahyade Naishkarmasa Vivakshidatwal Na Virado Duscharidal Teja Dharma Adharmam Cha Ityadi Shruti Smritibhya. Ajari Swamiji says here that when Krishna is saying Sarva Dharman Parityajya means that includes both Dharmam as well as Adharmam. Not only Dharmam. That's an important point. Dharmam and Adharmam both has to be given up. In other words, Naishkarmyam. No Karmam. Sarva Dharman, and he gives this quotations from Mahabharatam, where it says, Tejam dharmam adharmam cha, dharmam as well as adharmam. And abhigrihyade naishkarmasya vivakshidatval na virado duscharidal, Kathopanishad. Quoting from Kathopanishad. Sarvadharman sarvechade dharmaha cha sarvadharmatan dharma shabdena atra adharmaha abhigrihyade naishkarmasya vivakshidatval na virado duscharidal. That means, first of all, unless adharmam is the first thing to go away, to leave. Keeping all adharmam and giving up dharmam and then sarvadharmam paritijya is not what he is addressed to. That is the problem. That many people think that I have given up all my dharmam, now I am surrendering. But that dharmam, but on the other hand, all adharmam is going on in life. So, sarvadharman paritijya sanyasya sarvakarmanidhi edat mam egam sarvaatmanam samam sarvabhuta avasthitam ishwaram achyutam garbha janma jaramarana varjitam aham eva iti evam egam sharanam vraja namattaha anyat asti iti avadhare ityartaha. After you have given up all the karmam, take the shelter of Andaryami, who is present in every living entity, who has no birth or death, or garbhavasam. Andaryami doesn't stay in the garbham. And that person, Andaryami, take his shelter. Aham tvam tvam evam nishchita buddhim sarva bhavebhya sarva dharma vandhani ubebhya mokshayishyami swatma bhava prakashi karanena uktam cha nashayam alpa bhavasto jnana dipena bhaswata. 10th chapter, 11th verse. Iti adha ma shuja shogam ma karshi ityartha. So a person who has come to this stage and one who has understood that all dharmam as well as adharmam, and he has given up, and Krishna is saying such a person will be released from the sinful reactions due to the power of the soul, of the self itself. Because Krishna is saying, I am present in everyone as the Atma. Nashayami Atma Bhavasto Jnana Deepena Bhaswata. You will see that verse in the Bhagavad Gita. In the 10th chapter, 11th verse. Is it not? 10th chapter, 11th verse. Nashayami Atma Bhavasto Jnana Deepena Bhaswata. So, Tesham Evainu Kampartham Aham Ajnanajam Tamam Nashayami Alma Bhavasto Jnana Deepena Bhaswada. Jnana Deepa. Knowledge. Again, Krishna is saying knowledge. Knowledge is what is needed because Ajnanam is inside. Therefore, Jnanam is required. Darkness is inside, therefore, light is necessary. Is it not? When there is dark inside, light is necessary. Krishna has spoken this. If you look into the 4th chapter, see how in so many instances Krishna keeps telling us that because there is ajnanam inside, avidya inside, that must be taken out. You can see from the verses. Say for example, if you take that verse 10, 4:10. Vidaraga bhaya krodham manmaya mam upashrita bahavo jnana tapasa. Jnana tapasa. Krishna is saying jnana tapasa. Pudam madbhavam agada. Through jnana tapasa, one gets purified. Purification happens and comes back to me. Madbhavam agada, he says. So, again spoken about the importance of jnanam or self-realization there. And then Krishna says later on if you look into the 19th verse, 4th chapter, Yasya sarve samarambham kama sangalpa varjinaha jnana agni dagdha karmanam tamahu panditam buddha. Jnana agni sarva karmana dagdha karmanam tamahu panditam buddha. Karmam has to be burned in the fire of knowledge, Krishna says. Karmam is our disease, is it not? That karmam has to be burned in the fire of knowledge, Krishna says. Again, stressing on the jnanam. And then if you go further, you will see there, it's 27th verse. Sarvan indriya karmani prana karmani chapare atma samyame yogagno jihodi jnana divide. Jnana Deepam. That is, he says there, that who are interested in achieving self-realization through control of the mind and senses, offer the functions of all the senses and of the life breath as oblations into the fire at the controlled mind. And if you go again in the same chapter, in the transcendental knowledge, the same chapter, you will see that Sarve dravyamayad yajna jnana yajna parantapa sarvam karmakhilam partha jnane parisamapyade. Everything finishes in jnanam, Krishna says. Sarvam, all karmam finishes in jnanam. Sarvam karmakhilam partha jnane parisamapyade. O son of Partha, all sacrifices of work culminate in transcendental knowledge, Krishna says. Then after that, tadviddhi pranibadena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshandide jnanam jnaninas tattudarshina. So who is tattudarshi? He is a jnani. Jnani is a tattudarshi. Then he says, next verse, yet jnatva punarmoham evam yashasi pandava yena bhudani asheshani drakshasi atmanyatho mai. Having obtained real knowledge from a self-realized soul, you will never fall again into such illusion. For by this knowledge, you will see that all living beings are but part of the Supreme, or in other words, that they are mine. Again, Krishna is saying there that having obtained real knowledge from a self-realized soul, you will never fall again into such illusion. Now, if this has to be true, this cannot happen in the mind. It has to happen in realization. That's why it is. If anything, you can see from our own life, you look at it, something that you have holding in your mind, you will lose it one day or the other. Because every night you are losing it in the deep sleep. What to talk about another day. Every night you are losing in the deep sleep state this realization. Is it not? So something that you are possessing in your mind or in your memory, it has no meaning in self-realization. In self-realization, what Krishna is saying here, having obtained real knowledge from a self-realized soul, you will never fall again back into such illusion. For by this knowledge you will see that all living beings are part of the Supreme, or in other words, they are mine. So self-realization means only in the self-realized state, with that realization alone, this knowledge will operate in us. Otherwise not. Then, again if you look, you will see Yathaidasi 37 samiddhognir vasmasad kurude arjuna jnanagni sarvakarmanam tamahu panditam buddha. As a blazing fire turns firewood into ashes, Arjuna, does the fire of knowledge burn to ashes all reactions to material activities? Then, nahi jnanena sadrasham. Next words. Pavitram iha vidyade tatsvayam yoga samsiddham kalena atmadi vindadi. In this world, there is nothing so sublime and so pure as transcendental knowledge. Such knowledge is the mature fruit of all mysticism. And one who has become accomplished in the practice of devotional service enjoys this knowledge within himself in due course of time. In due course of time. Then next one. Shraddhava labhade jnanam talpara samyadendriya jnanam labdho aparam shantim achirenadi gachadi. A person who is in knowledge, he reaches the state of shanti. Shanti comes to that person who has the jnanam. Jnanam is the source behind the shanti. Then, in the very next verse, he is saying, ajñāśca aśraddhadānaśca samshayena samshayātmā vinashyati nāyam logosti na paro na sukham samshayātmana. One who is not having the jnanam, or one who has got doubts all the time, for him there is nothing he can hope in this life or after death, he is saying there. So, yoga sanyasta karmana, next words. Jnana sanchinna samshayam, atma vandham na karmani, nibadhrandi dhananjaya, nibadhrandi dhananjaya. One who acts in devotional service, renouncing the fruits of his actions, and whose doubts have been destroyed by transcendental knowledge, is situated factually in the self. Thus he is not bound by the reactions of work. One who is situated in the self. Tasmad, Krishna says, therefore, ajnana sambhudam, kristam jnanasin atmana, chitvainam samshayam yogam, atishtotishta bharada. Therefore, the doubts which have arisen in your heart out of ignorance should be slashed by the weapon of knowledge. Armed with yoga, O Bharata, stand and fight. So you can see the whole fourth chapter is nothing but talking about transcendental knowledge. Without knowledge, you can't move any more further. And same thing, you will see again in the fifth chapter, Krishna repeating the same, similar way, presenting the jnanam. And there, he says that to go further. Yeah, 15th verse. This is very important verse. Nadate kashechil papam na chaiva sugrudam vibhu ajnanenavrudam jnanam tena muhyanti jantava. Remember that verse in relationship with what we are talking about. Papam and punyam, both. He says, nadate kashechil papam na chaiva sugrudam vibhu. Atma is not doing pious activity or sinful activity. It's all coming from the ahankaram, isn't it? But due to ajnanam, covering our jnanam, jnanam is already there inside. Atma is full of knowledge, is it not? So Atma is covered with ajnanam. Ajnanenavrutam jnanam Tena muhyandi jandava. Because knowledge is covered by ignorance, tena muhyandi jandava. Again, the person is bewildered. That is our bewilderment at the moment. Is due to that. Ajnani enavrutam jnanam tena muhyandi jandava. Nadate kashyajil pavam. All these verses are meant for repetition. Nadate kashyajil pavam. Na chaiva sukrutim vibhu. Ajnani enavrutam jnanam tena muhyandi jandava. Krishna is saying that Supreme Lord, Antaryami is referring to anyone sinful or pious activities. Nor does the Supreme Lord assume anyone's sinful or pious activities. In other words, the self inside, Antaryami inside, is never touched by the sinful activity or pious activity. Indirectly, Krishna is telling it is affecting the ahankaram, not the self. Atma is never touched by the sinful or pious activity. Embodied beings, however, are bewildered because of the ignorance which covers their real knowledge. Who is this embodied being? Ahankaram. Ahankaram is bewildered. Why? Because of the ignorance which covers the pure knowledge of the self, the real knowledge. So, again, the repetition of the same thing which is concluding now in these verses. Then he says, Jnanenadu tadajnanam yesham nashidam atmana tesham adityaval jnanam prakashayadi talparam. When, however, one is enlightened with the knowledge by which the nescience is destroyed, then his knowledge reveals everything as the sun lights up everything in the daytime. Tesham jnanenadu tadajnanam yesham nashidam atmana tesham adityaval jnanam prakashayadi talparam. Then, tad buddhaya, tad almanam, tan nishta, tal parayana, gachandi, apunar avartim, jnana nirduta kalmasha. When one's intelligence, mind, faith and refuge are all fixed in the Supreme, talking to Antaryami, about Antaryami, then one becomes fully cleansed of misgivings through complete knowledge and thus proceeds straight in the path of liberation, that person. Then, Vidya Vinaya Sampanni Brahmane Gavihastini Shunijaiva Shavageja Pandita Samadarshinam. Then, he says, when you go further, you will see the glorification of the knowledge Krishna is continuously repeating here. That is all in the 4th and 5th chapter. Then if you go into the 7th chapter, again Krishna will talk about it. Mentions about the glories of knowledge, of the knowledge of the self, where he addressed as knowledge of the absolute. So, starting from text 2. Jnanam deham savijnanam idam vakshyami asheshada yajnyatva neha bhuyonyet jnatavyam avashishyate. I shall now declare unto you in full this knowledge, both phenomenal and numinous. This being known, nothing further shall remain for you to know. Nothing further to be known. And if you go further, you will see that Mattaparadaram Nanyal Kinjidasti Dhananjaya Mai Sarvamidam Prodam Sutraya Manigana Iva. Conqueror of wealth, there is no truth superior to me. Everything rests upon me as pearls are strung on a thread. And, yeah. So, you can see in the verse 14 and 15, Devi Kesha Gunamai Mamamaya Dirateya Mamevaye Prabhadyande Maya Medam Tarandide. This divine energy of mind, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. And then Namam Dushkadino Muda Prabhadyande Narathama Mayaya Abhardat Yanam Asuram Bhavam Ashrida. After that, Krishna is saying four kinds of devotees, which are the in the 16th verse. Artha, Jityasu, Artharthi, Jnani, the four kinds of devotees. Again, out of them, Krishna is saying, Jnani is dear to me. Not Artha, not Jnyasu, not Artharthi. Why? He says, Tesham Jnani Nityayukta, Eka Bhaktir Vishishade. That Jnani's Bhakti is special, Krishna says. Why? Priyohi Jnanino Thyartam, Aham Sacha Mahapriya. He is so dear to me. Of this, the one who is in full knowledge and is always engaged in pure devotional service is the best. For I am very dear to him and he is very dear to me. Udara sarva evaide yani twalpaiva me madam. Astida sahi yuktalma mameva utamam gadim. These personality, Krishna says, that they are magnanimous souls who is situated in knowledge of me. I consider to be just like my own self. Yani twalpaiva me madam. Why? Astida sahi yuktalma mameva utamam gadim. Being engaged in my service, he is sure to attain me the highest and most perfect goal. Then he says, Bahunam janmanam ande jnanavanmam prabhadyade. It is like jnani who can actually make that surrender happen. Jnanavanmam prabhadyade. Why? Bahunam janmanam ande. After several lifetimes, Vasudeva sarvamiti. Nothing exists here except Krishna. Samahalma sudurlabha. Such a soul is very, very rare, he says. After many births and death, he who is actually in knowledge surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes, and all that is, such a soul is very, very rare. So, you can see fourth chapter, fifth chapter, now the seventh chapter. All these chapters are, Krishna is glorifying the position of a jnani or a realized soul. Is it not? Soul or a soul. So, coming back to this, even on the 28th verse, it says, Esham tondagadam papam, in the seventh chapter. Jananam punya karmanam, te dvandva moha narmukta, vajandemam dradavrata. Persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life and whose sinful actions are completely eradicated are freed from the dualities of delusion and they engage themselves in Krishna consciousness. Janamarana mokshaya mamashrite yadandiye te brahma tadvidu krishnam adhyalpam karma chahilam. So, why I was saying all this was that Krishna has spoken that jnanam, knowledge of the self, is the first situation for a person in the spiritual path. And snashayami altma bhavasto jnana dibena bhasvada. Krishna says there that in this situation, sarvadharman parityajya mamegam sharanam vraja. Aham tvam sarvabhabhebhyo mokshayishyami mashuja. What does that mean? It means that Krishna situated within the heart as andaryami, he will remove that darkness from inside, which means the light will come out from the self, the knowledge. When that knowledge comes out, there is no sinful activity, there is no pious activity, everything disappears along with that. That's Nashan says saying here, Nashayami Altma Bhavasto, Jnana Dibena Bhasuva, the light of knowledge shines. So what we were talking about was that this Sharanagati is compared, is like this, when we talked about Aranagirinatha, how he jumped from the top of the huge tower, temple tower. Similarly, this Sharanagati is like that. You are leaving both the hands and jumping from the cliff. Very much similar to that. That means you know that there is nothing to hold on to in this world. Completely handing over yourself to Krishna. If Krishna wants to look after you, or if Krishna wants to look after anyone, then he will be looked after. If not, no. To that extent, that surrender is necessary. When you jump over from a cliff to the ground, what's that mood at that time? There is no other person holding you. You're just jumping. At that time, what's your state of mind? You are completely dependent on if Krishna protects, that's the only protection you have. Isn't it? There's no other shelter. In the, of course, when they go abseiling, they have got a rope behind it. But this is not abseiling. This is when you have nothing to hold on to anything. If you look into Srimad Bhagavatam, Parikshit Maharaj asked this question about the forest of enjoyment. You will see there one verse that Sukha Brahmarshi says about the householder. He says, this householder life in this world, he is comparing there. Valli grihitva gajabhidama astidaha. He is saying that householder has got so many problems in life. From all sides he is getting kicked. Wife is kicking, husband is giving trouble, children are giving trouble, relations are giving trouble. When you go to the office, the boss is giving trouble. From all sides, everybody is kicking him. Still he won't leave that. What he does is, he says, Valim grihitva gajabhidam astida. He is going through this forest of material life. And while walking through this life, suddenly he looked around, there was a very deep pit where he is going to fall. When he's going to fall, he's holding on to one creeper, thinking that the creeper will protect him from falling down. So, just like you take the shelter of a creeper, similarly you are holding on to some things in this world, thinking that they will be able to protect you when the problem comes in life. Valingrihitva gajabhidam astida. Similarly, interesting thing is, that when you are, suppose you are going through that forest, and suddenly there is a huge pit where you are going to fall. And while falling, you found one creeper there, and you held on to that creeper, thinking that you can escape from that fall. But when you held the creeper and you looked up to the top, you saw one rat was biting this creeper. And it was going to be cut off any moment. Any moment. So, it is in the process also, any moment the creeper will break and you will fall. And you won't be able to go up anymore. So, in that state, what will you do? Now, the last hope was this creeper. And that creeper is also going to break any moment now. Because this rat is eating that creeper. One rat is, when the rat eats, you have seen how they eat. It takes time. Keep on biting, biting, little by little by little, it will finish it up, and then it will break. Isn't it? When they eat the cloth and all, you see how they eat. So, the same thing he's saying here, that you are falling and you get on to some creeper. So that means anything what we take shelter in this world is compared to that. Ultimately it is not a shelter. We think it is a shelter, but it's not a shelter. That is why when Narada Maharshi spoke about bhakti, what did he define that? Anyashrayanam tyagaha ananyaha. Ananya bhakti means not taking shelter of anything else in this world. Everybody has to talk to themselves and prepare it that way. That is the only thing we can do here. Anyashrayanam tyagaha ananyaha. Anyashrayatam, that means to feel that there is some shelter in this world, is called illusion or brahmam. Brahmam that is. So Krishna is saying, if you imagine yourself in that state that you are going to fall from the top of the cliff and the rat is biting that creeper and you are falling, and if you think about me at that time, Krishna says, I will catch you. I'll take care of you. And that that is not possible, because if we don't give up, this creeper is this life what we have in this world. Our life is that creeper where we are holding on to it. So suppose if you don't give up this life, one day this life will leave us, would it not? This life will leave us. So, because you can see, the body will go. One day body will go. So-called relatives, they will also go. There won't be any of them. Either wife or husband or whatever it is, children, they will all be gone. And everything will go. And finally, you yourself are going. Is it not? So, normally what we say, the time is running out. Is it not? That's what we say, the time is running out. Actually, it's the opposite. Time is not running out. We are running out. Time is not running out. Time is always there. How can the time run out? We are running out. We are the one who is going, not the time. Time is there all the time. So once we know this, that these all things are going to leave us. Body, mind, intelligence, ego, family, friends, society, friendship, everything. If you leave all that inside first, that is the solution for that. That is what Krishna is saying. Leave that inside first. Outside it may not go. Outside it will go on its own way. But first thing, prior to that, leave that inside. So, that is why the only vastu that will not leave us at any time is Antaryami inside. Gopi said this. If you look into Bhagavatam, you will see there. Patisuta anvaya bradra bandhava adivilangya dendya chudagadaham gadividastavodgita mohida kiravayoshida kastyajen nishi. If you look into the 31st chapter of the Gopika Gitam, in the 10th canto, 31st chapter, 16th verse. Patisuta anvaya bradra bandhavaha adivilangya dendya chudagadaham gadividastavodgita mohida kitavayoshida kastyajen nishi. Gopis are saying to Krishna that what husband, what children. Gopis are saying, what brothers, what relations. What does it mean? Gadivilangyadendi achuda gadaha. Actually, there is only one person, Antaryami, which is you, who is inside us. Adi vilangyadeni andi achudaha gadaha gadi vidastavod gita mohidaha kitava yoshida kasya jayennishi. So Gopis' realization, Gopis are saying to Krishna that nityapriye padisuda annodi arti deikim. Remember, Gopi said that before. Nityapriye padisuda annodi arti deikim. That if all the priyam, what we feel towards other family members or society or relations, all that, where is that priyam coming from? From Atma. So, if we are feeling affection or attachment towards others, that priyam, that quality, the source of that is you, Krishna, addressing Krishna. They are saying, the source of all our priyam is you, and that is inside us. And when that is the source, that is where the shelter has to be, not in the body, what we see in other people. So, and living in this world, completely taking Krishna shelter, and giving up all other shelter in this world, that is what that gopis are saying. Tyajyam. Padisudhanaya bradra bandhava adivilangirin achyuda gadaha gidigidastavod gita mohida kitava yoshida kastijen nishi. Tyajyam means, you can't give up the body now. At this point in time, you can't give up the body. But knowing that and realizing it inside, it is not mine, is that tyaga. Knowing that this body is not mine and giving up that attachment to that body is called a tyaga. Tyaga. So, if we have convinced ourselves that except Krishna, there is no other ashayam or shelter, if we realized it somehow, then you will not think about anything else. Because we have not realized, that is why we are still finding shelter in the other things. In money, friends, family, society and everything. We feel shelter there because we have not realized that the except Krishna, Krishna is a lonely shelter. That realization hasn't happened. So that is the result of this Sharanagati. When Sharanagati happens to a person, immediate effect in him will be this, that he would not find any shelter in this world, or in the friends, or in the family, or in the society, anything, or in the money. So, Sharanagati is itself, and which will bring, and finally, smarana, memory of Krishna, continuous. I am not this body, body is not mine. If these two things are understood, I am not this body, body is not mine. If we have realized that, then the grip of the body will go. Will go. Body is having a strong grip on us now, is it not? We are being under the grip of the body. And for that, we have to accept these two things. I'm not this body, body is not mine. Body is not mine. And similarly, if you realize that I'm not this mind, then that grip of the mind will also go. Grip of the mind will also go. Because when you have rejected, when you have thrown away all these different entities like the body, the mind, the intelligence, the ego, what remains there that you cannot reject that. You can reject the body, you can reject the mind, you can reject the intelligence, you can reject the ego also. But then what remains that you can't reject? Because that is you. How can you reject yourself? You can reject the body, you can reject the mind, you can reject the intelligence, you can reject your own ego also. Then what remains? That's you. That you cannot be rejected. And that is swam. That swam, it's called, that is accepting that. And that you don't have to accept with your mind. Don't have to accept with your mind. Because that has its own awareness. It doesn't require any help from the mind, any help from the intelligence. And once you have known that, then for that entity inside, after you have rejected the body, the mind, the intelligence and ego, what remains there, that one does not require memory or forgetfulness, doesn't exist there. Memory and forgetfulness is all in relationship with the mind. It does not have any reality in relationship with the self. Therefore, when we come to our identification with the self inside, memory and forgetfulness has no meaning. When we talk about now, in relation, for example, sometimes we say, oh, I've forgotten that. Who has forgotten? Ahankaram has forgotten. Self has nothing to do with it. So similarly, forgetfulness and memory, all these things, all in the platform of intelligence, mind and intelligence. In the platform of mind and intelligence, we talk about forgetfulness and memory. But as far as self is, Atma is concerned, even the mind and the intelligence gets dissolved there. They don't exist anymore. There is no forgetting and remembering. Remembering and forgetting doesn't exist in the Atma. It all exists in the mind. So all the time, Atma is full of Chaitanyam or living force, and therefore there is no forgetfulness there. And that is why Krishna mentioned there, Sthanam Prapsisi Shashvatam. Remember that word? That Tam Vidya Tameva Sharanam Gacha Sarvabhavena Bharata Tal Prasadal Param Shandim Sthanam Prapsisi Shashvatam. Now you know why it is called Shashvatam? Because there mind is not there, intelligence is not there. Only Atma is present there. And when you reach that state, it is Shashvatam. It is permanent. That's what. So that is Moksha Yishyami Mashucha, Krishna is saying. So that last word Krishna is saying there is Mashucha. And Krishna says, I will take care after that. You don't have to worry about it. When we started Bhagavad Gita, if you go back into the second chapter, there was a verse there in the second chapter. There, what did Krishna say to Arjuna? If you look at that verse, that was in the beginning of the second chapter. You will see there that there is a verse. Klaibhyam Asmagama Partha. Third verse. Klaibhyam Asmagama Partha. Naivatva Yubabadhyade. Shudram Hridaya Daurbhalyam. Tekto Tishta Parandava. Number 3 verse. O son of Pratha, do not yield to this degrading impotence. It does not become you. Give up such petty weakness of heart and arise, O chastiser of the enemy. Klaibhyam Asmagama Partha Naivatva Yubabadhyade Shudram Hridaya Daurbhalyam Tekto Tishta Parandava. That is the verse number 3. And the verse before that, if you look, Kutastva Kashmalamidam, second verse, Shri Bhagavan Vaja, Kutastva Kashmalamidam Vishame Samubastidam Anarya Jushtam Aswargyam Akirtikaram Arjuna. Supreme Personality Godhead said, my dear Arjuna, how have these impurities come upon you? They are not at all befitting a man who knows the value of life. They lead not to higher planets, but to infamy. So those things Krishna has started when he started Bhagavad Gita. Krishna said this to Arjuna, isn't it? And now at the end, Krishna says, Ma Shucha, don't cry. Don't have, because distress or misery is not your swarupam. That's not your identity. Instead, knowledge and bliss is your swarupam. Again, Krishna is bringing him back to the spiritual platform. In the beginning, when we started Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that all those verses, Klaibhyam Asmagama Partha Naivato Yubavadyade, Chudram Khadaya Daurbalyam, Tektotishta Parandava, Kutastu Akashamalam Idam, Vishameya Samubastidam, Anarejushtam, Aswargyam, Agirti Garam Arjuna. So, looking at Arjuna's state, and Krishna called him Klaibhyam. Klaibhyam means Klaibam. Klaibhattu means Napumsakam, third gender. Krishna is saying, you're third gender, he says. In a ridiculing way, he says to him, that was what he started Bhagavad Gita with. Now, Krishna is saying, Ma Shucha, don't cry. Why? Because Krishna's point is, your actual identity is not being miserable and in distress. That is not your identity. Your identity is full of bliss and full of knowledge. Full of bliss and not full of ignorance and full of misery. Like Arjuna was having that state. And Krishna is saying here that so Arjuna is saying that you have to get liberated, don't I? Krishna says, that's my department, not your department. That's my problem, not your problem. You stay quiet, Ma Shuchaha. Although we are saying all these things, only after we experience it, this will all make some sense. Is it not? Theoretically, we have learned everything what Bhagavad Gita has to say. But what we have to do is to keep all these things in the background and continuously to preach to ourselves, continuously talk to ourselves this knowledge of the self, what Krishna has given us. This is our duty. Krishna's duty is finished now. Krishna has given us his part, what he has to say to us. Our duty is to take it and talk to us and get ourselves absorbed in that. That's our duty. That's not Krishna's duty. That's our duty. So, and live in this world in that way, taking this Gita Shastram, the science of Bhagavad Gita, what we have spoken so far. That is a science actually, the knowledge. That's why it is called Gita Shastram. It is not any other Shastram. This Gita Shastram is Jnanam, that knowledge of the self. That has to be taken and that has to be spoken and that has to be chewed again and again within. And Bhagavad Gita has to get inside and take control of us. Bhagavad Gita has to take control of us. So, after that, Krishna is saying, to whom one should speak this Bhagavad Gita? And that means, to whom one should talk Bhagavad Gita so that there will be some benefit from that? Who will be benefited from giving this Bhagavad Gita to? Because with these words, Bhagavad Gita is more or less finished, you can see. That is the next verse. Let's have a look at that.
Na bhaktaya kadachana na jashushruve vachyam na jamam yobhyasuyati.
That's it. Those people who have these qualifications, to them can be explained. In other words, idam de na tapaskaya na bhaktaya kadachana na jashushruve vachyam na jamam yobhyasuyati. This confidential knowledge may never be explained to those who are not austere. One thing. Or devoted, who has no bhakti, or engaged in devotional service, nor to one who is envious of me. What does this mean? Envious of me, Krishna is saying. We are not envious of Krishna, are we? We don't even know Krishna to become envious first. So that's why this Bhagavad Gita verse is in a little different way we have to understand. Idande naratapaskaya. Naratapaskaya means that people should have tapasya in their life. Tapasya means austerity in life. Discipline and austerity is a part of life. Human life is meant for that. In other words, one who has unrestricted sense gratification, uncontrolled senses, eating, doing whatever they like, and sleeping whenever they like, and uncontrolled in every way, no discipline in the body, no discipline in the mind, who lives in that way, you should not speak Bhagavad Gita to them. That's the one thing. Tapasya is necessary. Because if there is no austerity and discipline in life, this knowledge of the self won't happen. It won't happen. Therefore, it should not be na abhaktaya kathajana. One who has no bhakti, that means one who has no a feeling towards Krishna in a reverence way. That I am hearing the truth from the highest source, Krishna. So if you are not able to, if you are not looking at Bhagavad Gita thinking that, oh, this is Krishna's opinion, my opinion is different. In that way, you can't approach Bhagavad Gita. If you approach Bhagavad Gita, you won't have any benefit. Krishna is saying, one who is accepting Krishna's authority, that this is coming from a source far above my understanding. Therefore, able to accept that authority and surrender, and then listen to Bhagavad Gita, it will have its effect. Otherwise not. So that is why he is saying here, that when there is no bhakti, bhakti here means, not the bhakti what we are talking about, bhakti here means that inside you have a deep respect for Krishna. That's necessary. A very, very deep level, you have a respect for what Krishna is saying. You are not seeing Krishna as an ordinary person. We are seeing Krishna as the absolute truth from whom all the knowledge comes. So only in that case, this knowledge will get in, Krishna says. Na ashushushave. That means, one who has that bhakti inside towards the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Spiritual Master, to such a person, and with that deep respect, if he listens to that, to only to him alone, this should be spoken. That is what Krishna is saying here. Idam dena tapaskaya na abhaktaya kadachana na ja shoshave vachyam na ja mam yobhyasuyadi na ja mam yobhyasuyadi na ja mam yobhyasuyadi. What is yobhyasuyadi means? Asuya. Asuya means that I don't want any bhakti. And or you say that I don't accept there is any higher authority. Who is Krishna after all? In that mood, if you study Bhagavad Gita, it won't do any good. It won't do any good. So to them, Krishna is saying, for such people who are that mood, to them Krishna is saying, let them finish their journey and one day they will come back. They are in the process of wandering around in the material world. Let them continue with their journey, and when they come back, then we can tell them. Up to that point, we don't have to speak to them. That's what he's saying here. Nachamam, nachamam yobhyasuyati. Because if it is no devotion, there is no bhakti in the heart, then towards Krishna, bhakti means a reverential nature, except because this is the very fundamental principle in the spiritual master-disciple relationship also. That unless there is bhakti and reverence inside, this knowledge won't work. This knowledge won't work. You saw how Arjuna, in the very beginning itself, he, shishyastemam shadimam tvam prabhannam. A great personality like Arjuna, he understood that, now I have to surrender to Krishna. And when he surrendered and took shelter, the knowledge flowed from Krishna. When that surrender happened, therefore the knowledge flowed. Started flowing from Krishna. The knowledge started flowing from Krishna. Because this incident happened much later again. In one instance, after many years after Bhagavad Gita was spoken, one instance when Mahabharata war was over, and Arjuna was one day walking along with Krishna. On an evening, sometime together they were walking. So in a very casual way, Arjuna says to Krishna, remember you talked to me, Bhagavad Gita, in the battlefield. Can you say that again? He said, which was more on a friendly terms. Not in the way it happened in the battlefield. So Krishna says to Arjuna, that Arjuna who heard that Bhagavad Gita in the battlefield does not exist now. And that Krishna who spoke Bhagavad Gita at that time is also not there. Because it is the disciple surrender, that's what brings that knowledge out from the spiritual master. Krishna's grace followed. Seeing Arjuna surrender, pleased with Arjuna's surrender, Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita came out because of that, because of Arjuna's surrender. That is why Krishna is saying here that it should not be spoken in a casual way to anybody. Casual way to anybody. It's a very serious thing. That is why it's mentioning there. And then next verse. After this, there is not much in the Bhagavad Gita. Most of it has been spoken now.
Ya idam paramam guhyam madbhakte shabhidasyati bhaktim mayi param krutva mama vaishyada samshaya ya idam paramam guhyam malbhakte shabhidasyati bhaktim mayi param krutva mama vaishyadi asamshaya.
So, in the 67th verse, Krishna said, to whom Bhagavad Gita should not be spoken. And in the 68th verse, Krishna says, to whom Bhagavad Gita should be spoken. That is the difference. He says, ya idam paramam guhyam mal bhakteshu abhidasyati bhaktim mayi param krutva mamaveshadi asamshayam. Mamaveshadi asamshayam. Krishna is saying that for one who explains this supreme secret to the devotees, pure devotional service is guaranteed, and at the end he will come back to me. So, generally Prabhupada says there, Bhagavad Gita is discussed among the devotees only. For those who are not devotees will understand neither Krishna nor Bhagavad Gita. And those who do not accept Krishna as he is, and Bhagavad Gita as it is, should not try to explain Bhagavad Gita whimsically and become offenders. So, there is a certain frame of mind necessary while hearing Bhagavad Gita. So, here again you will see the science of Gita Shastram. Krishna calls it as Gita Shastram is Parama Guhyam, isn't it? Ya idam paramam guhyam. How many times Krishna is saying it's guhyam, guhyam, guhyam? Confidential, confidential, confidential. He spoke how many times? Ninth chapter he spoke once. Now again, third time it is in this 18th chapter. Paramam Guhyam. Most confidential knowledge. So, and who ones who speak this to them, anybody, madbhakteshu abhidasyadi. One who speaks it to the devotees, Krishna says, those who are willing to listen to it with a deep respect and devotion and shraddha, and to them, it should be spoken, Krishna says. Those who have that seriousness and devotion and desire inside to hear Krishna's words, to them it should be spoken. And he says, bhaktim mai param krutva, mai paran bhaktim krutva. Krishna says here, why should we do that? Because doing that itself is the bhakti towards Krishna. Krishna is saying, speaking Bhagavad Gita and hearing Bhagavad Gita, both of them is bhakti. See that? Krishna says, evam bhaktim mayi param krutva. Bhaktim mayi param krutva. That's what it means. Speaking Bhagavad Gita and hearing Bhagavad Gita, that's bhakti. So talking, speaking from Bhagavad Gita and hearing from Bhagavad Gita is bhakti. Krishna is saying like that. Krishna is saying, so you can see, again, Krishna is very particular about that, and that is Sankirtanam. So, Mamaveshesi, Krishna says, such personalities, Krishna says, I will take control of them, I look after them, and they will come back to me, na samsheha. Not only that, look at the next verse, 69. Naca tasman manusheshu. Kaschin me priya krittamam bhavida najame tasmal anya priya daro bhuvi naja tasman manusheshu kaschin me priya krittamam bhavida najame tasmal anya priya daro bhuvi Naja tasman manusheshu kaschin me priya krittama bhavita nachame tasmal anya priyataryo bhuvi. There is no servant in this world more dear to me than he, nor will there ever be one more dear. One who speaks Bhagavad Gita to others. And then he says that how this should be spoken. That means Krishna is saying that Shruti, Vedam, Bhagavad Gita is a part of the Vedic literature, isn't it? When this delivering Bhagavad Gita, there are few things to be taken serious note of. First thing is that we should study Bhagavad Gita, no doubt. But it should not be totally on the lips. It should be become part of the realization. And if you study Bhagavad Gita in that way, remember yesterday we were discussing that Bhagavad Gita should be studied, but with realization. And after that, studying that, and then you should speak. This is a requirement from Krishna's side. That devotee, it is those who are doing that, they are the ones who will be protected. Those who studied it, and those who have realized it, and then they are speaking that to others, they will be protected by Krishna. And if that is spoken to those who have got bhakti, to those devotees, if it is spoken, Krishna is saying, there is nobody who is more dear to me than him. So only that person who has studied Bhagavad Gita well and who has realized it, that it is the truth, here, Swamshikaranam it's called. Swamshikaranam means making it your own. Indirectly, Krishna is saying, don't run seminars and courses. That's what it is. Indirectly, that's what he's saying. Because seminar and courses is not like that, isn't it? Seminars and courses are only with the intention of, you're thinking that it is something that you can teach, like in the university. Krishna is saying to us, first of all, you should study, and then you should absorb it, and you should make it your own, the realizations. After that, you should teach. In that case, it will have, that person is the one Krishna says is dear to him. Not anyone and everybody. Only that person is very dear to him. And Krishna is saying there, such a person who has done that, there is not going to be another person, another devotee who will be dear to me than him. Again referring to jnani, more or less. It is a jnani state. The jnani who has absorbed Bhagavad Gita and realized it, and when he is talking Bhagavad Gita to others, that means that is perfect. Krishna is accepting that. Tasmad anya priyadaro bhuvi. Says them. Tasmad anya priyadaro bhuvi. Nor will there ever be one more dear. One more dear. Then the next verse. Adyeshte jayam imam. Dharmyam samvadam avayom jnana yajnena tenaham ishtasyam iti memati adyeshyate caya imam
ധർമ്മ്യം സംവാദമാവയോ ജ്ഞാനയജ്ഞേന തേനാഹം ഇഷ്ടസ്യാം ഇതി മേ മതി. And I declare that he who studies this sacred conversation of ours worships me by his intelligence. By his intelligence. So, those people, Arjuna, he says, this discussion between you and me, Arjuna and Krishna, every day reads it or with care, attention, studies that with deep respect inside. For he is adyeshade jnana yajnena. Krishna is saying, adyeshade jnana yajnena. For example, if you are chanting the holy name, japam, it's called javayatnyam. It's called javayatnyam. Studying Bhagavad Gita is jnana yajnyam. Studying Bhagavad Gita is jnana yajnyam. Yagam, if you perform sacrifices, that is yajnyam. Dhanam is also yajnyam. Bhagavad Gita is jnana yajnyam. That is the difference. Everything is a yajnyam. For example, yagam, what we perform, somayagam, adiratram, they are all yajnyam. They are all yajnyam. Similarly, Krishna says, japam is javayajnyam. Bhagavad Gita is jnana yajnyam. Bhagavad Gita is jnana yajnyam. So, after studying Bhagavad Gita, well, and completely absorbed in the Bhagavad Gita, and living in this world, constantly absorbed in the Gita, and living the life of Bhagavad Gita, for him, Krishna says, in due course, I will become his object of worship in life. Krishna will become, in other words, it will develop into bhakti, in a serious level. Proper bhakti will develop in the heart. If you study Bhagavad Gita seriously and practice it in life, if it makes it your own, swamshikaranam, as it says. So if you make it your own, then naturally Krishna consciousness will build up to such an extent that Krishna will be, you will become a proper devotee, proper devotee. So if you continuously always reading Bhagavad Gita, thinking about Bhagavad Gita and Krishna's instructions in the Bhagavad, what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, if you are constantly analyzing it inside, in your thoughts, if you are absorbed in that, Krishna says, that is the best worship of me. That's the best worship of me. And this is my firm opinion, Arjuna, he says. So, so that's all Krishna has to say. Therefore, Krishna's advice is that, on a permanent basis, to take Bhagavad Gita seriously and to study continue, always as and when time allows, to take to reading Bhagavad Gita and absorbing in Bhagavad Gita. Not just reading it, the verses alone, but absorbing in Bhagavad Gita how Krishna has spoken. I'm sure all of us have certain intelligence, isn't it? And with that intelligence, you have to apply here and start analyzing what Krishna has spoken and see the truth behind it. And that is how realization comes to us. And that is called anusandhanam. Anusandhanam means whatever you have heard for the last 5 years now from Bhagavad Gita, we have discussed from from Bhagavad Gita 5 years, what you have heard, a lot of things would have left now, gone away. But you have to bring them back because that is a part of this. Anusandhanam is only possible if you keep thinking about it again and again, analyzes it. And if it is, and due to anusandhanam, what will happen? It will become your realization rather than what Krishna has spoken or somebody else has spoken. It will become your own realization and it will not come, it may not come completely, but to some extent it will happen to everybody. According to one's anusandhanam, it will happen. The more we absorb, any subject is like that, the more you absorb in that, it becomes yours at the end, isn't it? You become specialized in that. You get that realization inside. That's what Krishna is saying here. That the more and more you absorb in that, that realization comes. And while living in this world, now and then you may forget it. You may forget it. But even then, Krishna is saying, as and when there is some goodness inside, there is some ability to read and reflect,
we should still go back to Bhagavad Gita all the time and bring it back again in our life. Again in our life. And if you do that, Krishna says, you will become an object of Krishna's grace, Krishna's kripa. And that is what he is saying there. That in the 70th verse. Adyeshedja ya imam dharmyam samvadam avayo jnana yatnena tenaham ishtasyam idive mati. After saying, next one. Shraddhavan anasuyascha shrunyad abiyo naraham sobi mukta shubham lokan prapnyad punya karmanam shraddhavan anasuyascha shrunyad abiyo naraham sobi mukta shubham lokan prapnuyan punyakarmanam. Shraddhavan anasuyascha shrunuyad abiyo naraha sobi mukta shubhal lokan prapnuyan punyakarmanam. And one who listens with faith and without envy becomes free from sinful reactions and attains to the auspicious planets where the pious dwell. Where the pious dwell. So, one who listens to Bhagavad Gita without envy, with full Shraddha, with attention, and with that respect towards Krishna's words, he, Krishna says, anasuya. Anasuya means that anasuya, asuya will go, asuya won't be there. What is asuya? Envy. Asuya is envy, isn't it? So you see there, he's saying here that Shraddhavan anasuyascha shrunuyad abiyo nara sobi mukta shubhal lokan prapunyad punya karmanam. What is asuya? What does asuya means? Envy here. Envy means that you are very particular, not open about it. Not open means when something is spoken from Bhagavad Gita, if you are showing a certain resistance from inside in accepting that, I will only hear Bhagavad Gita from a particular person. I won't hear from anybody. Having this reservation inside. And only if it is spoken in this way, I will accept it. This is all asuya. To say that I will only accept Bhagavad Gita, I won't hear from so and such and such a person. I'll only hear from anybody whom you feel as acceptable. Only from him I'll hear. Being partial about that, not willing to hear Bhagavad Gita from anybody else. Then secondly, that only in a particular way if it's spoken, I will hear that. Or it should be spoken in a way I like it. Not the way you like it, but in the way it should be spoken, in a way I like it. And already you have made certain decisions inside yourself. You have already made certain decisions. And therefore, when you hear Bhagavad Gita, you have a problem there, that you are not willing to accept that. Krishna is saying so many things, isn't it? In these 18 chapters, Krishna has spoken a lot of things. If you go back and think about all what we discussed in so many classes, how many things Krishna has spoken. And that message will not come inside if in my own mind I have a lot of negative thoughts against it. So openness is necessary while studying Bhagavad Gita. You have to be very, very open inside. That you have to realize it there, that it will not be according to your taste. It won't be according to your decisions. When we talk about Alpa, especially with our materialistic mind, we have all kinds of questions and all nonsense in our head, is it not? And I've already made up my mind that I'm not going to accept what Krishna is saying. In that mood, if you listen Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says it won't work. Krishna is expecting certain kind of surrender there in us. That unless you have an openness inside, listening to Bhagavad Gita won't help. Why? Because we will bring all our prejudices with us. We have a lot of prejudice, isn't it? When Krishna is talking about the self, and Krishna is talking about a number of things here, and if you are prejudiced towards that, then listening Bhagavad Gita won't help. That means without prejudice, one has to listen to that. So that prejudice inside is called asuya. That is what this envy or asuya means. So asuya is a big problem, is it not? Asuya is a big problem. So, so similarly you can see that when you are hearing Bhagavad Gita, you feel sometimes that somebody else has understood, I didn't get it. That is also a kind of envy inside builds up, is it not? So feeling in different ways, that relating with others and comparing and feeling oneself, Krishna says that also will not be good, because if there is a slightest envy inside, this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita will not have its effect. Krishna mentions this. For Bhagavad Gita he says envy, and in the Bhagavadam he says Nirmal Saranam Satam Malsaryam. Malsaryam is what Krishna says in the Bhagavadam, and here Krishna says envy. So Anasuyascha. Shraddhavan Anasuyascha Shrunuyad Abiyo Nara Sobhi Mukta Shubhat Lokan Prapnuyat Punyakarmanam Punyakarmanam. So Sobhi Muktaha, Krishna says. And so those who have heard Bhagavad Gita in that way, he will say, Krishna is saying, Sobhi Muktaha. Sobhi Muktaha means he will also get liberated. And he will reach those planets where people who have performed pious activities, they will come to that planet, they will get there as well. That means, even if you have heard Bhagavad Gita without completely understanding that, you have not understood everything what Krishna has spoken, is it not? Who has understood everything what Krishna is saying? It's not possible, because it's too much a subtle science, Bhagavad Gita. So, even if you heard Bhagavad Gita without understanding it, Krishna is saying, still you will reach the higher planets. Auspicious planets, you will get there. Why? Because even if you have not properly understood that, something you are listening, isn't it? After all, it is Krishna's words. After all, it is Krishna's words. And it cannot go without giving some result. That's the beauty. After all, Krishna, whatever Krishna does, whether he's speaking, if he kills somebody, he gets liberated. And if he says something, if somebody listens, it has to have some effect. It has to have some effect. It cannot go without giving some benefit to the person. That is Krishna's words. So in other words, what it means is that we all have some hope. That's what it is. It's not a joke. It's a serious thing. Krishna is saying that you won't understand what he is saying. Krishna knows that. That we won't understand the depth of Bhagavad Gita. Who understands the depth of it? Ajaya Swamiji, who had with all his intelligence, he is saying that Samastha Vedartha Sara Sangraha Bhutam. This Bhagavad Gita is the whole Vedam Sarva Aumanishadal Logam Dugdha Gopala Nandana. Partho valsa sudhir bhokta dugdham gidamrutam mahat. Gita, all the great acharyas, even after glorifying, they are not satisfied. Because they are saying this, that they don't understand Bhagavad Gita. So naturally, Krishna knows that people like us, the chances of understanding Bhagavad Gita is very, very little. But whatever little that has gone in, but the fact that we have heard Bhagavad Gita, and we have chanted these verses, it will also have some effect. It is not all a waste of time, in other words. So, whoever hears Bhagavad Gita with Shraddha, if it is like that, he has got hope. And after this, Krishna is asking a question to Arjuna. He's saying here, what does he say? He's saying here that the next verse, Kachil edakshrudham partha tuyaikagrena chetasa kachit ajnana sammoha pranastaste dhananjaya kachidedakshrudam partha tuyegagrena chetasa kachid ajnana sammoha pranashaste dhananjaya.
O son of Prapritha, O conqueror of wealth, have you heard this with an attentive mind? And are your ignorance and illusions now dispelled?
Kachideda shrutam partha to ekagrena chetasa kachid ajnana sammohal pranastaste dhananjaya.
That is Krishna's question to Arjuna. Krishna is asking.
Kachid means, has it happened? Has it happened? And whatever I have spoken so far, have you with full attention heard it?
Heard attention.
Because he says here, kachid ajnana sammoham. What your disease is, you have got ajnanam or avidya inside. Ajnanam means avaranam. Avaranam means it's a cover. Krishna knows very well, Andaryami inside is full of bliss and knowledge. But what is the problem, Arjuna's problem? Arjuna has got this cover. Ajnanam or avidya, which is covering the soul. Which is covering the soul. So, Atmavis, what is the covering the soul means? You have forgotten yourself, who you are, and you have identified with the body. That is the ajnanam, is it not? What is ajnanam? Ajnanam means you have forgotten who you are and you have identified with the body. Your real identity is Atma, that you have forgotten. And now you have got this ajnanam of identifying with the body. Identifying with the body. So two things have happened here. One thing, you have forgotten who you are. Secondly, what you have done? You have gone and identified with the body. Two mistakes. Two wrong. Forgetting yourself is not bad. But identifying with the body is the worst thing. That's what has happened to Arjuna, to all of us, isn't it? So that is why he's saying here that you have forgotten the self, haven't you? So Arjuna is answered there. Arjuna vacham nashta moha smridir labdhva tval prasadan mayachudam stitosmi gada sandeha karisheva janam tavam. Arjuna said, my dear Krishna, O infallible one, my illusion is now gone. I have regained my memory by your mercy. I am now firm and free from doubt, and I am prepared to act according to your instructions. You can imagine that. What state Krishna Arjuna is saying this. So, we have a few more verses, which I don't think we can finish now. We'll do that next Saturday. And then we will start with Hastamalaka Gita. Why Hastamalaka Gita? All that we have heard in the Bhagavad Gita. When you hear about a person who had that in him, and how he lived in this world, how he responded to this world, how he dealt with this world, that is Hastamalaka Gita. We'll discuss that next Saturday. We'll begin that. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.